morning sickness.
You've been deceived by an agent of Satan himself. He's evil.
Sitting right here. Come on.
No, no, he's not evil. He's just a bit rude.
98 KUPD.
There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Wait for this one.
Oh,
good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to the morning sickness. I know I've got no high end anything today. It's all that damn screaming at the show on Friday night. Voices, this is as good as it's been all weekend. Lost it completely Friday. I sound like a 13-year-old boy who's almost done changing, going through the change.
Peter Hi, Brady. Everybody.
Yeah, it's 5:45. Yeah. My name's John. There's Brady. There's Bert. There's Big Dick Toledo. Let's get this thing going, shall we? What a weekend. What a, just a lot going on. Had that whole U-Fest thing. We'll talk about that Friday. And then yesterday, this is what I'm greeted with this morning. Dear Rabbi Holmberg, stop turning your head. Your nose is messing up the Suns. Not the basketball team, but the actual ability for the Suns to provide light to humanity and other planets. Thank you. Hey, Jew nose. I saw your Jew nose. This guy's got a one-trick pony. Hey, Juno, I saw your Junos on TV last night. I think it was the thing that knocked the T-Wolves coach down. Tell the story. At least we won't see that on TV anymore. Thank you. Thank you for all that support. Yeah, I went to the Suns game last night with Doug Hopkins, and we sat right by the T-Wolves bench. And evidently, when the Wolves coach, Chris Finch, got hurt, they carried him right next to us. And my nose was on display. I'm getting texts from people all over. It's like
you could smell the injury.
It's a torn patella. I told him. I said he's got his knee's gone out. And they said, "Oh, okay, we'll look into that." Sure enough, that's what happened. So hopefully, if all things go right, hopefully, two coaches are out after last night. The Suns can finally fire Frank Vogel. Finally, and then of course, tip of the cap to the T-Wolves who. Everyone said would lose this series because the Suns matched up with them and then the Suns went out. And it, like I've said, nobody the bed better in the playoffs than the Phoenix Suns. Well done. Well done, boys. Excellent job. Yeah, that was rough. I've been a fan of a lot of crap. I've been a Cubs fan for a long, long time. Suns fan, long, long time. Kind of gave up on them during the Sarver years, so it wasn't fair that I didn't really pile through that time. The Steelers have given me quite a lot of love, a lot of joy. But I don't think I've ever been a fan of a team that I kind of hated as much as this year's Suns. As much money and talent and everything that got poured into this team. What an unlikable bunch. So it'll get broken up. Say goodbye to a lot of those people. And it's going to go away. But we did have U-Fest, which was good. We did have that, and that was fun. Friday night, that was a blast. That was a good time. I think, though, I may have ruined our relationship with POD and not realized.
Yeah, you were saying something about that.
Almost got into a fight with the religious band. Unintentionally. Now, first off, you guys be the judge. Tell me if I was wrong. I see the guys from Bury the Darkness, right? Mm-hmm. They're in one of the dressing rooms backstage. Yeah, I had a few pops, but I wasn't drunk. I see him in there in the dressing room. It's the first time this local band of these young guys who I met at the Easter keg hunt. They were super awesome to us at the doing the Easter keg with us. They hit a bunch of the kegs. They were really nice kids. You know, just great. I was happy for them. Now, they ran into some serious technical problems during their set. The mic for the singer went out for a while. And then when that got fixed, the guitarist's amp somehow got screwed up, and you had no guitars. Now, this is the band's first time ever on a stage that big, and they powered through it. They did what they did. I talked to them a little after, and they're like, yeah, we had tech difficulties. What are you going to do? You just keep going. That's rock and roll. And I'm like, good for you guys. Good attitude. Excellent job. They didn't look at it like, oh, our big opportunity here was horrible. So I was happy for them, and that actually made me kind of
proud. They didn't leave the stage crying.
Yeah, they weren't upset. They weren't blaming the set for tech problems and we didn't get a sound check and all that crap. No excuses, no baby fits. They just went up there. They did what they do. you know, it happens to every band at one point. Unfortunately, it happened to them on a huge stage. But they're fine. So I'm walking by. A few hours later, I see them in the dressing room, and I see a little tiny igloo cooler, and I'm like, look at these guys. Dressing room, little rider, and I opened up the igloo cooler, which was tiny and nothing but ice, and then there was like a tray of radishes and celery, and I'm like, nice job, guys. You had a contract. You could have gotten anything, and they're laughing, and I'm like, I just want to say to this room, and I held my cup up. I said, this festival show will be the last time that Bury the Darkness is first on stage. Good for you guys. Nice job. Last time. Dude next to me goes, what about POD? And I'm like, POD's going to be opening for these boys someday. I'm giving great praise to Bury the Darkness.
Absolutely.
Right? Guy turns to me and he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, come on, POD's going to be opening for these kids someday. These guys are crushers. They're going to get it done. More praise for Bury the Darkness. Guy says, what's your problem? I don't have a problem. Just telling these guys are good. And he goes, you ever been in a band? And I'm like, what? I don't even. Anyway, and I kind of ignore him for a second. He goes, hey, have you been in a band before? And I'm like, I guess you could say I've been in a band, college and stuff. I fool around with. Yeah? Then you know. Okay. Whatever. And I'm kind of like giving the thumb to who the hell is this guy? And then he's like, he says something. And he goes, dude, you ever been in a band where the singer's dead? I'm like, no, I was the singer in the bands I was in. That would be tragic. I said, what a horrible thing that would be. And I pat him on the back, and I'm like, I'm just supporting these guys. One of the dudes in Bury the Darkness looks at me, and he goes, you got to go. Like, what? He goes, well, next time you start rattling your mouth off, just think of that. Never been in a band the singer died in. Know your place, bro. And he kind of bows up, and I'm like, what's going on? I look up, and I realize I'm in POD's dressing room. This guy's the drummer for POD. So I'm like, oh, he wants to fight now. So then later in the VIP, he walks by and he points at me. I'm like, no, we're not doing this. So then I told Brett, I'm like, I think I'm going to have to fight POD tonight. Get over it, right? I didn't do anything wrong. I was telling young kids that go get them. And POD should be the ones like, yeah, you guys, we support you. Instead, this dude who's supposed to be in some Jesus band.
I don't know which guy is it.
The drummer. The little, well, actually, is this he singing? That's him. Yeah, he's got a guitar in that one.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, cool.
Wolf Bernardo.
Nobody would recognize the POD drummer.
No.
Visually.
The only one that's recognizable is Sonny, the lead singer.
Right, the singer. I didn't see him in the room. I wasn't paying attention to them. I didn't care. But shouldn't the Jesus band be more supportive of the young kids?
Well, especially
instead
a band
of jealous?
That's been there, done that already, kind of like, good on you guys, you know? And take it jokingly. Yeah, you guys will be opening.
All right.
You
know, I understand. You know, yeah, the guy made the wrong dressing room mistake.
But
I
wasn't saying anything awful about him.
No, you came into their dressing room to praise another band.
That was in their dressing room.
Yeah.
Hanging out with them. I thought maybe they were taking him under their wing. I didn't even know where I was. In fairness, I didn't know where I was. I mean, give me a break. Know your place, bro. I'm like, know my place. And then I looked up. I'm like, is that what he means? Because I saw the POD dressing room sign. I'm like, oh. Well, and then not to diminish this, but didn't their singer die like 30 years ago?
I didn't know their singer died.
Yeah. I didn't either.
I didn't think it was POD. I think it was those dudes' band before they were POD.
Because I thought Sonny's been the lead singer the entire time. Let me look here.
And if he's not over it yet, to where it hurt his feelings that I told a bunch of kids in their early 20s that I'm rooting for him. But I think I'm in a fight with POD. I'm not sure of it, but I think I might be in a fight with him.
He opened the door out of the hallway, and I was standing there with Meathead. Uh-huh. And you just said, I think I got in a fight with POD.
Did I say that? I was going to have to fight POD.
Yeah,
I think it was.
And you were prepared to go if necessary. And so I'm like, Meathead, let's go back to the dressing room and go, hey, guys, what's...
Did you talk to him?
Meathead.
Yeah.
I was that close from doing it, and we held off.
Oh, all right. Good. Because then probably would have escalated into a full you and me fighting POD.
That's why I brought Meathead. I'm like, hey, what's going on here, guys?
If Meathead wanted to go with, like, I'd let Meathead, because he's impervious to pain. The man's made of cinder blocks.
I thought about going in there. I understand we have a problem here, and I got Meathead right in back of me.
But it was
I'm here to fix that.
I didn't know who the guy who was mad at me was, even after I looked up and said, this is POD's locker or dressing room. I just thought he was just a big fan of POD.
And I missed that part of it because I thought you were in Bury the Darkness.
So I thought I was
at
first. And then when I later, like as I'm leaving, I'm like, oh, this is it.
So that was how fresh it was.
Well, because one of the dudes in Bury the Darkness looks at me when he says, you got to go. You should leave. And I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. Like, this is getting weird. Me praising you has turned this guy into a complete psychopath. And I'm talking about dead singers. I'm like, I don't know who you are. How bad has your band experience been? And then I realized later, I'm like, when he walked out, I'm like, that's the guy who wants to fight. And they're like, that's the drummer. And I'm like, of what? They said, POD. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. But he was, you know, he kept us. We were a few feet apart afterwards, and I just started laughing. Josh Ackerman from React Defense was there, too. And I'm like, hey, if this goes down with the Christ band, you're with me, right? It's like, you're gonna fight with me for Jesus, yeah? And he said, really? I'm like, yeah, I would apologize, I guess, but I don't feel like I did much wrong other than say, I'm rooting for these local guys, go get them. And then kind of jokingly said, POD will be opening for these guys soon. And that evidently touched a nerve and triggered him to talk about a dead guy that was in his life back in the Clinton administration.
All right, so their drummer right now is this guy, Alex Lopez, who's the touring drummer. He's not an official member.
Oh.
And he played in Suicide Silence, and their lead singer died.
Oh.
Okay, so now it makes sense. All right.
Well, I had to do a lot more explaining.
Yeah, well, I did. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can't just come into a conversation with all that weight.
This is a touring drummer.
You should have known.
Look, what am I, a baggage handler at the airport? That's an awful lot to drop off on a guy who had no idea who you were in the first
place. You should have known.
You're right. I think I made him even more mad because as he talked, I just laughed and patted him on the back.
Oh, the pat on the back. I wish I could have been there.
I'm just saying. I've never had a dead singer. I am the singer. So that would be tragic. And I said it. I didn't know where it came from, so I didn't know if he was. I don't know where he was going.
You're not even an official member of the band, bro. Yeah,
look, touring drummer. I'm sure you're making quite a healthy living as a studio musician. But I'm talking to these successful kids right now.
Oh,
yeah. So
that
what are you gonna
spectacular.
Do? I didn't know what to do with him, so I walked away. So I'm not in a fight with POD. I'm in a fight with POD's hired help.
Yeah,
it's a butler. He's a drummer, a butler. He's not even a real player. But it was still fun. It was still a fun moment because I'm like, I think I have to fight a guy from POD. I didn't know who he is.
I mean, the two guys we interviewed during the day were great, but
he
wasn't one of them. No,
because why would you?
We had real members.
We didn't. You're making it worse.
We didn't get the hired hand.
Which makes me wonder, now it makes sense, because at the end of the night, he was at the bar, and he's with another group of dudes, like POD wasn't with him. Like, he was with guys from Bad Wolves and whatever.
Nah.
Maybe he's trying to get support, because they're talking bad about me. I wasn't. I think the thing that offended him, I just had no idea who he is. So he's in another band I really don't know anything about.
Yeah, apparently he was in Suicide Silence.
And their singer died.
Yeah.
Most, like, recently?
Because
it felt like a fresh wound when he started to throw the bomb at me. And I still don't know what it would have to do with me liking Bury the Darkness. You ever been in a band where the singer dies? No. I'm the singer. Tragic.
Founding lead singer Mitch died in 2012.
It's a while.
Yeah.
I've had a friend die before.
Let's talk. I've suffered loss.
Yeah.
I have. I lost. All my grandparents are now gone. It's painful. I had a good friend die 10 years ago. We had a party at my house to commemorate the 10th anniversary of his passing. A lot of jokes. Most of us seem to be kind of, we've healed that wound. It's Bondo. It's fragile. But we can laugh about it. Tell me about your pain. I didn't know what it was. I did, though. It was very condescending when I patted him on the back. And I said, I am the singer of the band. That would be awful. I don't know what that's like. I didn't know what he was talking about. Did POD's singer die at one point?
No.
Okay.
Apparently, Sonny's been the lead singer the entire time. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know what he was talking about. And I've never heard of his other band. I
wanted to make that point.
How can he get kicked out of the other band?
That I don't know.
Or did they just kind of stop being a band after?
Let's see if he's.
And then to tell me, know your place. Like, whoever says that? You ever been in a band with a singer's dead? No, I have not. Know your place, bro. Like, I didn't know that was a rule we had to follow. Weird. Just strange.
What are you doing in here? Because the band that you're with, that you're talking to, I don't think any members have died. Are they allowed to be in here?
Yeah. Let me ask the other guys in a bit.
You're not of that caliber.
Key said, make this right, John. Invite him to play in your band one night, and then he can see what it's like to be in a band where the singer isn't dead. Like, all right, he's a traveling musician. He'll take the job. So I don't know who you are, dude.
You should have him back for the October. Then you can do one of their songs.
I would whatever that his band's called, I could do one of their songs.
Suicide Silence.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, that'll be a beer break, but.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a crowd killer. Pardon the pun.
Or something could happen to him, and then you guys can do a POD song.
That would be great.
I'm just saying.
I mean.
No, I still wouldn't count that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, he doesn't count. He's a studio guy. It's like the touring keyboardist. Like, we didn't, you know, we're not doing those. Anyway, Night of the Singing Dead, we'll look into it, but I would gladly tell him I'm sorry for the misunderstanding. I would girl apologize and say, I'm sorry you're mad that you misunderstood this. I wouldn't give him an apology that felt like I'd done something wrong. And also, Bury the Darkness, I still support you. Like, that was the thing. And I
wonder if this, the point that what he's hearing is, oh, he's making fun of the food in our...
Oh, I was doing that. That was dessert. They had half a cut radish and some celery and an empty, like just a tiny...
So there's the ripping right there.
It was like I've seen people transporting human organs in better igloo coolers than what they had. And I cracked it open. I'm like, nice. A bucket of ice with nothing in it and a radish and some celery. We're making fun of our rider. I'm like, if that's what you guys asked for. I've seen bands with like 9 humidifiers and a, you know, Jay Moore gets fresh socks and a pair of shoes from the venue. And
we drank the Sunny D, bro. None's left.
No pouches remain, my friend. Know your place.
Like, what?
We killed the Sunny D. Have you ever been a band with dead Sunny D? I don't know what you're talking about. I think I should probably go. And he bowed up. He's tiny, too, which made me kind of feel like he's scrappy. I didn't feel like fighting. I was happy. Like, I'm good. We're good. Like, sorry about that whole mess.
He should have been, too. At least he wasn't working a shift at QT this weekend. You know?
Brett's taking it to
what?
New level.
What? He's the touring guy, for God's sake.
You are going to make them so mad. They're going to drive the band over, unbuckle him from his kid's seat, and he's going to get out, and he's going to come up.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at decelerating from a distance. Yeah, you will unstrap him and pull his binky out and let him have his say. Yeah, but anyway, so I'm kind of done. I was never really a POD guy in the first place, but now I'm kind of like, all right, never mind. I like
it. It wasn't a good day for Christianity for some reason. Kirby took a shot at her tennis match.
Oh, yeah, Gilbert Christian lost.
She lost to some girls at Scottsdale Christian.
Yeah, so Christianity won.
And after the match, the girl that she played said, boy, your parents must have been embarrassed watching you.
Oh, geez, I shouldn't laugh so hard at that. What a bitch.
They were the number one seed.
Man.
And well, I said, Kirby, go out there, have fun. These girls have, you know, their scholarship. They're going to play tennis in college.
Yeah.
Go out there. You're going to see more pace. And
I couldn't.
I had to go to UFest. I watched her first match. Yeah. And then afterwards, I get that text.
Says that. That's pretty good stuff. Yeah, that's a good heckle.
And where are you from? Scottsdale Christian.
Scottsdale Christian. Lord be with you. And also with you, bitch, by the way. Wow. That's a swing for no reason. Well,
there's mean girls.
They've got
they live and learn.
They've got what it takes to take it to the next level, I guess.
And that's what I told Kirby. That's where I need you to be.
Yeah, you got to get there eventually where you look at somebody and just go, I feel sorry for your family for having to see this. That's a great look. I'm sorry that it happened to Kirby, but that's a nice poke from a Christian girls tennis team. I bet your parents want to hang themselves. Are they familiar with the singer of a band in 2012? They should join him. Man, oh, man. Good
Lord. Had to pull Ronnie off.
Was Ronnie going to fight the girls?
No, she was not real happy.
No, but still. Yeah. Did she talk to the girls' parents?
I don't think so.
That's what you do. You go over and go, hey, good match. Your kids are really good at tennis. Also, you're raising a bitch. That was uncalled for. But, in fairness, awesome. There was a heckler at the Suns game last night that was getting it done, sitting right next to the Timberwolves bench. Now, I told the story about how Doug Hopkins got very angry at the Suns this year because he brought his nephew, who's a huge Celtics fan, and he sits right behind the visitor's bench. And his nephew loves the Celtics and has said at one point he was screaming, Jason Tatum, I love you. You're the greatest. You're the greatest. And he's giving Jason Tatum. Well, he's shouting Jason Tatum's name. They come over, pull Doug aside, and give him a card, like a yellow card. And it basically says, here are the rules of sitting this close to the team. You can't mention their names. You can't say it. And Doug goes, this is absolute bull. Guy was saying he loves the Celtics. He's allowed to do that. And he's like, no, not by name. He's not. And so I thought Doug was going to flip the bench over. When he told me the story, he was like, I was furious. I'll never go back in that building. He was mad. And he had a right to be. He spends a lot of money to sit there. And it wasn't like the guy was being mean. So they were going to kick him out. The Suns. The Celtics turned him in. And the Suns were like, yeah, can't do it. If they complain, we got to boot you. And he's like, I want all my money back for the whole season if I love you, Jason Tatum, gets us removed. So last night, there's a dude screaming a couple seats over. And he's good. He's got a real annoying voice, which is good for heckling. And he's just, every foul, he's just shouting, you can't do that, Rudy Gobert. Like he's making fun of, he's saying their names. And the girl next to me is a Timberwolves fan. And her husband and her, we got to talking about, you know, I'm like, you guys are going to sweep the Suns. I'm not, congratulations. And she goes, well, this is just uncalled for. And I'm like, you got to admit, though. Because the players started to look at him, go, man, shut up. Like he's getting to him. They pull him aside. He comes back with his little card and he waves it at everybody. And everybody's kind of like, all right, you can keep going. He had that really loud, annoying voice. Then he started to say, unnamed player. You can't do that. And he's, you got to get in foul trouble. Player who just got the foul. And he wouldn't say their name. One of the guys on the bench says something. He goes, you're going to need a cough drop. And because they had a whole bucket of cough drops, and he's trying to give him one for yelling. And he goes, I cannot speak to you. I'll be removed. Please stop talking to me. And I was dying. The guy was great. Had I known the great Christian slang, I would have written it on a note and said, say this to him. Your parents must be embarrassed. I was dying. That is a great. Yeah. I mean, Kirby learned something that day.
Sure did.
You can be classy, or you can be classy and hilarious. And I think the girls from Scottsdale Christian have it down. Christian schools. Yeah, POD, the Christian schools. I don't know if you saw the horses running wild in London, covered in blood, and Big Ben stopped for a little bit. I think these are the signs of the apocalypse. POD. And this guy says that the POD drummer is Alex Lopez. He left on his own accord due to creative differences.
Okay. Yeah. I
don't know.
I didn't dig that far into it.
Here's another thing. POD could walk in the building right now and I'd have no idea who they are.
You think they were the promo crew?
I would. Yeah. I would look and I go, oh, okay, we're getting a tour to, I must have hired four new guys. And that's not because I don't care. I just haven't seen them enough to, they're not getting recognized in restaurants and stuff unless it's some crazed fan. Anybody that wanders up and says, are you in POD, is probably going to kill someone in POD. Ridiculous. But I got to know my place. And so should that girl from Scottsdale Christian. I want her on the show, and I want her to look Kirby in the eye and say, I'm sorry. But also, I want to go, that was awesome. You did something awesome you need to apologize for is hard parenting. What you did was awesome. Now go tell that girl you're sorry. Mean it, though. Don't just go over there and say you're sorry for her being fragile. Does Kirby talk any trash at all? Does she have any of that Brady in her that gets upset and just starts
not yet
shout random things into the air that aren't really directed at the guy? But
trying to teach her that.
Yeah. Brady gets upset and just starts shouting things, which is hilarious and awesome. But it's never directed at a guy, except for that one time he called one guy a dick, which I thought was pretty great.
Brady called a guy a dick?
Yeah, on the tennis court. It got kind of heated.
He was.
Yeah.
It was the best way to describe him at the time. We've talked since, but the one other guy that was an absolute
dick
to play is in jail now.
Right,
he found out over the weekend.
He got his. Not for tennis.
Remember so-and-so.
He's not in jail for like
yeah. So
tennis attacks or anything. He did
something else. Yeah.
Drugs.
I don't think it was. It might have been more corporate-y.
Oh, no kidding. He did a little embezzling.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, tennis, that's, yeah, he's going full on white collar stuff there.
Dipping.
Not a lot of tennis.
Dipping
guys.
Into the
not a lot of
companies.
Tennis meth addictions, I don't think. Maybe a couple, but they didn't. Well, Agassi evidently was a coke and meth guy, so. But he had to tell us about it. Nobody looked into it. Yeah, I've been around Brady. He did it. Like, I used to laugh because when we play racquetball and stuff, I remember hitting you with the ball once accidentally. I hit you in the head and you didn't wear your goggles and shout into the ether. But it was clearly I was the only person in the room.
That's what happens when you play with amateurs who don't know what they're doing.
When you're the only other guy in here. Shut up. And I just started laughing because he was pissed off. But the true amateur move was,
I'll play without my goggles.
And then you took one in the eye.
That's exactly what guys just... knocking it wherever. Just
these guys,
don't know what they're doing.
Like, these guys, I'm the only other dude in here. You're clearly talking about me.
I told you about this guy.
I remember giggling and I was going, shut up, hit the ball.
That's what these slapjags just waving around doing whatever. These slapjags, who's the other guy in here?
Me. But I understood the anger at the time. You took one off the noggin. And I had to stretch and reach, and I put a good power stroke on it. I just didn't know where it was going to go, and your head was its last stop. Those are great moments. Then afterwards, I said, "Your parents should be embarrassed for that outburst." It's a family tradition to say that to Brady. Anyway, to everybody who showed up to everything except that last moment, I had the bad part about the thing with POD was I had such a great time at the show. It was such a good show.
Oh, yeah.
Motionless and White.
Oh, really? Cool. I was impressed.
They were outrageously good on stage.
So. I was like, this is like Korn meets Slipknot.
Dude, they were outstanding. Like, they were just crystal clear. They put on a hell of a show. I don't know their songs well enough to care, but man, I watched it. I got interested real quick. Chevelle went up there, and I just was like, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what rock. They don't have any show. They just go believe in the music they play, and they kill it. It was a hit factor. I also had a moment with Chevelle after you interviewed
Jesus,
him.
What'd you do?
I didn't fight him, though. So this was a weird moment.
You're going to get banned from backstage at this round.
This was before I even had a drink. I went back. You had interviewed Chevelle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
mm-hmm.
They're talking to Chevelle on the couch. So I was back there. I'm like, cool. So they're standing next to me at one point. I'm like, hey, I work at the radio station, too. I said, I do the morning show. We interviewed one of you guys, and he goes, it was me. And I'm like, oh, it's great. Thanks for your time. And I said, I just need to tell you, like, I think you guys are the best. I think, you know, rock and roll has had its issues for a quarter century now, exact amount of time you've been around, and you guys have been nothing but consistent and awesome. I can't tell you, I think you're great. And he's like, oh, that's very nice of you. And then I said, and I got interrupted in the middle. My intention was to say, I talk to people, and you're never their favorite band, and when I'm done talking with them, you end up being that. Like, but what I said was, you're no one's favorite band. And then the guy goes, well, that's because, I'm like, oh, no, I wasn't done, but I didn't get it. So it just looked
Jesus.
Like, it looked like I just said, by the way, you're no one's favorite band, and I just stopped talking. But the other guy started to talk, and I'm like, I'm not done yet, this looks bad. So then I'm scrambling for a way back in, and I kept saying, well, like I was saying, you're no one's favorite band, but... And then the other guy would say, I think it's because of so many hits, you don't really know all the songs. I'm like, oh, no. I said, but I, every time I talk to somebody, it's like, oh, I like Chevelle. I'm like, no, they should be your favorite band. If you like rock music, they should be in the top three. And he goes, well, that's thank you. And I'm like, God, this got awkward. And I just turned, I turned to Jeremy, and I'm like, I just did a fanboy with them and said stupid stuff. I think they're walking away upset. They might have told POD about it, and then that's why I was persona non grata.
And that little Alex bowed up on you.
You know, what's up, bro? People die every day, bro. Know your place. Like, okay. Thanks, Grim Reaper. Do you need a boost up to the radish table so I can get you some food? Anyway, it was fun, though. Good night all the way around.
The Offspring. Three-minute songs.
Fun.
Just it
That's
is
what
fun.
They do. They are. And talk about a great night. You got all those good bands just killing it, and then the Offspring go out there and go, ready to cap this party off. And also, got to say, if you missed it, it should be on our website or a Facebook or something, Instagram. We got Doug Hopkins to take his shirt off on stage, and it was fast. I told Doug backstage, you're going topless. And he goes, nope, not going to happen. No going to do it. I said, you're doing it. Nope, no, bro, not going to happen. Doug, you're doing it. Standing on stage with the winner, And I said, what are you going to do with the money? And he goes, hookers and blow. Crowd, yay. I said, got any hookers out there? And one girl raised her hand like, I'm a hooker. I'm like, there's one. That was weird. And I said, and who wants to see TV's Doug Hopkins take his shirt off? And the crowd immediately popped pretty damn loud. And I looked at Doug. And before I could even start the chant, take it off, it had started with me. Like I said, take it. And they had already gone off, the whole crowd. And Doug caves to peer pressure. I think you can make Doug Hopkins do that if you call him to buy your house. Like if he came over to say, Doug Hopkins, TV's Doug Hopkins, taking a look at your house. I'm like, yeah, take it off. What? What'd you say? Take it off. Take your shirt off. What did I get? Take it off. Okay. And then it would just lift his shirt.
It's a Mardi Gras flash.
It was easy to get Doug to get to show us his cans.
Glad I was on the air.
Yeah, right. You didn't get to see that.
I didn't get to see it, no.
Nice areola.
Yeah, some.
Right next to it was just.
Yeah. Brady went and ordered a pizza right after. He didn't know why. Pavlovian. We got Doug's shirt off fast. He's like one of those drunk girls in college. Shirt came right off. And the crowd went wild, which was pretty great. Tried to get him to do it again last night, but nope, not here. Nope, not doing it, bro. It's 6:15. Let's get a wake-up song, shall we? And I'm going to go get some tea. Try to soothe this. I screwed it all up Friday, yelling at POD. Give it to us good and strong. 585-9800. We'll scream it together. It's 98. Wake up!
Hey, it's not weird. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fee.
I have heard enough of this.
UPD. Holmberg's morning sickness.
You've been deceived by an agent of Satan himself? He's evil!
Sitting right here. Come on.
No, he's not evil. He's just a bit rude.
98.
Thanks, Mike and the Molotovs, and the, I'm getting a lot of people emailing me what could have been said on the tennis court. I like this one. It says, as a Christian, I hate to say this, but the way you played today had to make your parents reconsider their pro-life stance. Christian girl tennis trash talk is my favorite thing in the world. Oh, yeah, and God bless. I love every second of that. And then I got an email from, this is a good one. Well, I got this. It says, morning, Holmberg. I watched the Suns game last night, and I thought I saw you sitting there behind the T-Wolves bench with Doug Hopkins. In fact, it was verified when I saw you turn towards Doug and then knock him out of his seat with that giant news. Anyway, it was neat to see you on TV, but F the Suns. That's how everybody feels today. Kyler Murray and James Conner were right there in the front row of the game last night. And Kyler's feet, you knew it was Kyler Murray because his feet didn't touch.
One seat?
Yeah, it was just one seat, but his feet didn't touch, and he kept swinging his legs around. I'm like, oh, that's adorable.
Was he sitting on sir or ma'am's lap at the game?
No. He had cotton candy, so it was hard to, like, see. Like, okay. He had that, and he had a bunch of, you know.
Crocodile cookie.
Yeah. And it looked huge in his hands. James Conner's a full-size man sitting next to him, so you could tell. But, yeah, the Cardinals were there. That was the exciting part of the game. The Suns are now... you know, let's say it as citizens of the city. That's it. Window closed. They got to make some massive moves. And it was fun. From the 2020 bubble team to the 21 finals team to, there may be some trouble. And then they get Kevin Durant. You're like, yay. And he was, by the way, he's great. He played awesome the whole time. But I would venture to guess there's going to be some massive changes down there, including what everybody said I was crazy to say back in February, which is they're going to trade Devin Booker if this doesn't work out. And now that's the rumor, that Devin Booker is going to get traded. And should, if you want this team to perpetuate forward instead of just live in this muck and mire of nothingness, which is where they are. Devin is their only piece. I don't want to see him go either, but he's their only piece. You can't trade Durant anymore. Too old. Bradley Beal was a nightmare in clutch moments in the last night, especially. He was horrible. 7 points, 6 fouls. I mean, so you're going to look at it, go and say goodbye to them. And this team doesn't need to be reassembled. There was no reason to believe this was any good to begin with. I think it's weird. It's proof that we have absolutely no cachet in the world of media. They pay no attention to us. I've been pretty much on the forefront of this fire Frank Vogel thing since Christmas. I've been all over the trade Devin Booker, and then suddenly You know, I'm watching Dan Bickley get credit on ESPN for saying it a week ago. And I'm like, nobody pays it. The fart show doesn't get any attention. He's in Woj.
I've been saying it.
Yeah, Woj on ESPN. It's like Dan Bickley. I'm like, hey, hold on a second. I like Dan, but I said that way back in February when it started to seem like this would
be an option. You're his
source. I guess. I don't know. But it's credibility. There's none. You mean the guy that wants to fight POD's drummer? We're not quoting him. Not that I'd want it, but it would be nice to go, yeah, you know, media rumble. We're not considered part of it because we don't like the rest of them, and they know that. And also, we beat them a lot, and they don't like that either. So we don't get that credibility. But, I mean, you heard it here first. There's no question about it. Now, maybe, was it flippant and off the cuff at the time? Sure, but it turns out to be quite no different than Colin Coward. That guy just spews out nonsense and only picks the stuff he's right about. It's kind of what I'm doing.
But, well, you know. Suns fans probably have to, you know, be ready for a 2-year process. You can't, I don't think.
You can do this in one.
You think?
If you take my plan. You can do this next year.
If you take my plan.
All you have to do, one little ad in the paper.
Tiny classified ads?
Tiny classified ads. That's the answer if you're the Phoenix Suns. Baby ads for your team. So, no, you trade Devin Booker to the San Antonio Spurs for 2 first-round picks. That's it. You free up $17 million. You go get yourself a free agent, a goddamn point guard, and you got the number one pick or top five pick in the draft.
That's still 2 seasons.
I don't think so. If you keep Durant and Beal... And go get, you know, the number one overall rookie. And then do something with the money you would have had to pay Booker. And just get the Spurs to pay the whole deal. You got a lot of money to spend for free agents. You can piece together a really... Look, Durant and Beal together, that's good. Most teams would love that. And you give that one more year and then you've got young guys coming up. Because you got no draft picks. Again, somebody else will say this in a month or two and be like, that's a good idea. But you know, media will never ever...
But next season's going to be, you know, hey, if something happens, great.
We'll see. Yeah. It's all dependent on what happens. At noon today, when they fire Frank Vogel and the rest of that staff.
Think so? You think that's happening?
If they don't, they're wasting time. You let everyone in this. If I'm Matt Ishbia, the new owner of the Suns, I let everyone know this was wildly unacceptable and people are going to lose their jobs for it. This is not something we're going to hem and haw over, and I want to come across like a nice guy. It'll scare away other coaches because 1 year and you don't perform. But he gave a coach, like, it's not like when the Cardinals fired that guy after 1 year, he had nothing to work with. So other coaches are like, I'm not going there. If you're expecting me to win with that Josh Rosen and I get fired after 1 year and you didn't give me any weapons, you get Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. You have Grayson Allen, the number one three-point shooter in the league. You got a dude in the centers pulling down 12 boards a night, and you can't manage to not look lazy and terrible night after night after night. Vogel's fired. And I've been saying that since December. The window was closing in December. None of their problems this season got fixed. That's a coach. They had the same problems in October that they had last night. All year long, that's coaching. If you can't adjust, and you know, Chris Finch made, he looked like Red Auerbach coaching against Frank Vogel. Every adjustment he made the Suns look like they were half a step behind. This guy said, the Suns make it hard not to jump ship. Believe it or not, they're a stacked team that plays like garbage. That's exactly coaching. You look at that roster and tell me anybody looks at that and says, give me that all day long. Give me Durant, Booker, and Beal. Give me that. Nobody's saying no to that roster. Vogel blew it. And now Booker's probably got to go. And if they run this back next year, there's absolutely no excitement in the fan base. None. None. And frankly, it speaks a little bit to Devin Booker's leadership skills. But they can only go so far. In the playoffs, he kind of is like, well, this is all I got. He had a great game last night. Anyway, it's fun to finally say, F you 2023-24 Suns. Go away. But you did have the draft this weekend, so it kind of gives you hope for football. Everybody bears. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
It's the only time in football that every team is really happy. Like they just did. Nobody says, we had a terrible draft. I don't know what that was. Everybody's happy with who they got. Everybody's, you know, but it doesn't matter until September. Everybody won the Super Bowl over the weekend.
Who's the Brock Purdy this year? Who's Mr. Insignificant?
Mr. Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to round seven. Steelers didn't have a pick in the seventh, but probably a kicker. But, yeah, it's a sports kind of just kind of went, oh, and disappeared. But it'll be exciting. I'm expecting a massive trade. I'm expecting a Barkley-sized kind of seismic shift over there. And Matt Ishbia's, boy, he's not the type of guy that sits on this. Unless there's money to be locked somewhere, they're going to start shopping all these dudes in a couple of weeks. But yeah, I'd fire Frank Vogel. He would have been fired last night. I just going into things. I wanted to wear a shirt. A t-shirt I was going to write on it that said, Frank, Mr. Ishbia wants to see you in his office. It's too much to write on a shirt. So I was going to bring a poster, but then I'm like, I'm 51 years old. I don't bring posters to things. I wanted to go over to the Walgreens and grab the poster board and get a Sharpie and like, that one's crooked, and then do another one. And then I'm like, my God, I'm teen girl. I can't do this. But this media outlet that never gets any credit, has been saying what's going to happen to this team for a long time. I take great pride in that. Take that, Woj.
Alabama DB, Jalen Keyes.
There he is, yeah. Just got it printed. The New York Jets, that's him. Number 257. He's Mr. Irrelevant. He's got a good football name. But we don't get that credit. We're not one of those media outlets that gets credit for the things we say. We're laughed at as the jokesters and the doofuses.
You have your sources are telling you?
I need to have sources. Yeah. I'm my own source.
You need to be Gambo's source.
Right. Know. My brain, I need to just start saying my thoughts are another person like Joe Biden does and say that they're sources. Because when I just say it, it's like, this idiot's opinion. But I need to say, sources tell me, and that's just my inner voice. And people are like, oh, he's got sources? Because that's all those guys do at sports radio, and I know them. I don't know who their sources are. I think they just pull it out of thin air like I do. Nobody has sources in life. Do you have, like, I'm not a, like, police have informants. Who's your source? I got sources. Sources tell me. Sources.
That's the key. You never tell about your sources.
What if I, well, that's because you don't have them. They're just dumb thoughts in your head. What about, like, sorcerers? Like, if I said a sorcerer told me, it's the same thing. But we don't get that credit. We'll never have
good information from my medium.
I talked to a medium the other day. He told me that Devin Booker's a Spur. We're getting a number one overall pick. I'm like, yeah, that's what I've been saying the whole time. And all I had to do was go to a medium to back. You just need backup. Otherwise, you're just like a loon. And then when you get big enough, like Colin Cowherd, you just say whatever you want. And then 2 days later, I told you. I've been telling you the whole time. Like, okay.
Rarely accountability.
Right. They never go back and go, man, here's 14 things I said that couldn't have been more wrong. The same with the draft analysts. Dudes are constantly wrong. They have like a 13% success rate. But still, the number one paid guy at ESPN outside of Stephen A. Smith is Mel Kiper. It's crazy. We don't get that credit. And on that note, I got this email. It says, hey, Super Jew. You know... It eventually just has to stop pandering to Brett's laugh.
Oh, I got to post that picture of the guy at the show.
Yeah, all with right. Your shirt. The guy, did you see Rabbi Holmberg's shirt?
I didn't. I heard about it.
David, he put a picture. He made a shirt of me as a rabbi.
I forgot. I'll post that right now.
Anyway, this one says, hey, Super Jew, I saw that your head Rabbi Stern had Joe Biden on his show. Is this one of the signs of the apocalypse? I used to listen to Howard back in the day, and he talked about how the government was after him, and he was targeted, and the government's awful. And that was in the 90s, so it was Clinton and the Democrats. And now he's all about Biden and the government. Is this what's going to happen to you as the poor man, Stern? Are you eventually going to have Katie Hobbs on the show to blow her? Signed, John Johnson. So what you're saying is we would get a lesser politician and then start kissing their ass right there. Like, it is weird that Biden did Stern's show and like made up stories. There's some really funny stories that Biden said that he was arrested in a on the porch of a black family's house when they were trying to desegregate the schools in some city in Delaware. And he's like, I protested. And he's talking about protesters. I didn't really hear it, but I read this part. So he was talking about protesters. Mom tried to stop me, but I couldn't. I was protesting. And they said he got arrested. And he's told that story twice. The first time he told it, he said the cops just drove him home. Now he's saying he was arrested. He also told some story about how he got arrested when he tried to see Nelson Mandela down in South Africa once. And that Mandela, when he saw him years later, hugged him and said, I want to thank you for coming down there. You were arrested when you tried to see me, and that's brave. And he's like, yeah, thanks. And then South Africans are like, we never arrested that guy. That didn't happen. And then Joe Biden's like, oh, did I didn't mean to say arrested. They stopped me. Well, you said arrested several times and then said that Mandela was, like, saying you got arrested. Like, that's made up.
It was a busy weekend.
That's made up. It was a very busy weekend, and maybe it was the same weekend.
I went over there to Africa.
Every time he sees black people, somebody arrests him.
Well, now we know where Pratt gets it from.
Oh, it's just completely delusional lunacy. Yeah. But it was weird to hear, and I can't do the impressions today because I don't have a voice, but Stern and Biden, like, that is a strange, like, apocalyptic mix-up for me and all I've known of Howard Stern, who I'm not going to bash. I think his growth and his change is fine if that's what he wants to do. He's earned it. But it is awfully strange juxtaposition of the last time I listened to Howard Stern's show, which wasn't that long ago, because Satellite gave me a freebie, so I haven't listened to him in years. And he had one of his guys, Richard, eating something out of the butt crack of another guy. And I'm like, well, he still does that crap. But then he wants to talk to the president. And I'm like, how does that happen? How do you still get that going? And just talking about smelly butts.
And like, not right. being afraid to do that. Like, all right, I'm going to.
Yeah, but at a certain point, like, isn't it the president's job to go, I'm not going. Like, he shouldn't come on our show. Like, that would be weird. Like, politicians shouldn't do that. But yeah, you went on there trying to appeal to that. And I get it. You can be multiple things, but it just seems sort of strange that the dude that railed against that very, you forget that those were the people that put the stickers on everything. You know, parental advisor. This country has made a weird flip around from the late 80s.
Tipper Gore.
When Tipper Gore and the Democrats were the ones trying to say, you know, ban this, ban that when it comes to language and religion and like weird. And they put the stickers on stuff that said parental advisory, you know, explicit lyrics, which created the greatest T-shirt of the early 90s. And that was Stern's, like, rallying cry. They were after him. The FCC, the government's after me. And there he is. To see that guy sitting there and, you know, holding hands with anybody in the government, it throws me for a loop. I don't feel like that's a natural thing. But he's gone, evidently, and I haven't listened for a while, he's gone completely bananas bonkers for politics, which is also something that guy, you know, he used to do that to
so Imus. Much that you think he will run for something.
No, but Imus is he's already tried that crap. Imus was the one he used to make fun of that he got old and started to talk about politics and yelling and like,
yeah,
you can talk about politics, but it had to be like, it can't be like this love festival. That it's weird. I didn't hear the interview. I just read the parts that Biden was making stories up, which I find hysterical. But it's so weird. And to sit down with Howard Stern and act like there is no history there or no, like, it's strange. And basically, Biden would be a guest on the Stern show you'd think he wouldn't want, and Trump would be one that he would want.
Like, hasn't he been a regular? Not
Trump
a regular,
used to
but
be.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to be on there all the time, and he was a great guest for me. He's, you know, and I don't know. He's gone bananas. And not that he needs to keep doing the same things over and over, but this is a weird juxtaposition.
I understand for the Biden crew, that's a big win. In other words, I think they like the fact we got the king of all media to interview.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not that now.
I know.
Like Joe Rogan.
Still, but you understand that. I mean, you can see the whole reason why they're wanting that.
Sure. But it's also, he likes it now.
How much it would be rehearsed or
pandering.
I mean, don't you think a lot of those things are like there's certain areas you can't go? Like questions you can't ask.
Oh, I'm sure that there's like a series of things that it wasn't an open interview.
Which isn't Howard either.
No.
You can't go here. You can't go down this road.
I guarantee you that they had a group saying, do not ask this. Don't go down those roads. He can handle anything, but don't do this. Don't do that.
All right. I'll do it.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you, Robin, we got a great, great guest today.
Yum.
We got two lesbians. Two lesbians and the president are going to come in. Red Robin, I mean, when we get these lesbians all over the president, and we're going to ask him how big his dick is.
Yum.
I mean, do you have a bigger dick than Trump? Do you think Trump and you have similar sized penises?
I mean, I don't know how America sits back and takes that seriously.
It'd have been great if Biden pulled out a guitar and did a little acoustic jam.
Hey, take a look at my dick. Where's the dykes?
We're going to bring out the dykes in a second, President Biden. Don't worry. We have lesbians.
I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. But nothing does anymore. And again, those bloody horses running around London. I don't know if you saw them. There are military
horsemen.
And they were covered in blood. They broke free. They got spooked by something. Big Ben stopped at 9 a.m. on the dot. And then these horses ran around London covered in blood for a while until they could figure them out. They were like military horses or something. But the visual of it is like, uh-oh. Well, maybe those Bible people had something here, because this is, you got Biden on Stern. Brady's daughter's getting cursed out at Christian tennis events. I mean, this is all weird. It's very strange. Yeah, if you haven't seen those horses running around London, one of them's white.
Vita, Trojan, Quaker, and Tennyson.
The white one is coated in blood. And I don't know. And they're evidently, the horses are in fairly serious condition. Like, this was bad. And they're just running all over London. The white one covered in blood is disturbing. You see, there it is. Yeah, look at that. And they're just making turns and shooting down roads. And everybody's like, what are the bloody horses running around London? And Big Ben doesn't work anymore? And then they got Big Ben working, and they corralled the horses, and everybody's like, let's just act like that didn't happen.
And now, and we're going to bring in, like, look, President Biden, I want you to rank these girls' cans.
I'll do it. Doing that.
Yeah, let's get some cans in here. What would you do? I mean, how big? Tell me something, President Biden. I don't want to get too personal. Red Robin, cover your ears.
Yum.
Brettle juice. Be careful here. Where's Baba Bastard? I need to talk to him. Tell me how big Dr. Jill's cans are.
He's got big cans.
So I put my hands on those cans. That's right. Tell me about that. How tight is she? How tight is the First Lady?
It's pretty tight. I mean, I've had tighter. Been to Vietnam.
That's right. Tell me about that. What's the tightest broad you've ever been with?
Was in Vietnam.
It's in Vietnam, serving the country.
I know you didn't go to Vietnam. I know that for a fact.
I was over there serving, not during the war.
Tell me about Dr. Jill. Is she an oral specialist? What do you get out of that? At your age, can you still get it up? That's all I want to know. Here's one of my writers. This is Richard. Smell his beehole.
And what do you get out of the Stern Biden interview? Other than, like, you know, complete praise and honor. Like, there's nothing coming out of that interview.
Does a game show with him.
All right. We're going to do a day called Taste the Semen. The president's going to try to guess which one of the members of the show he's actually ingesting. Is this Baba Bastard or Red Robin? Go ahead, Mr. President. That's not bad. I think that's Black Lady. Kill us, Baba Bastard.
That's exactly right. He got it. Very good. Our president knows the semen.
We could do the whole show pretending to be Stern and what he should have done.
All right. Now the president's going to come in blackface and do a routine. I'm going to bring in Billy Joel. He's always here.
It's just, I don't know. The world doesn't make sense to me, and that's a big one.
I grew up in blackface.
Yeah.
I grew up doing blackface in vaudeville. Yeah. I was a blackface comedian.
We all know about your past being false. Stop telling these stories.
I went down to visit Mandela. I dipped myself in a bunch of shoe polish, tried to go visit him as one of his own. I was arrested.
We all know that's not true, Mr. President. Now, take another sip of this and tell me. Is this the limo driver's semen or my urine?
Go ahead. Blindfold him. Don't cheat.
Okay, I won't. Let's pee.
All right. Yeah, do you like butt stuff? I mean, what are you into?
It just doesn't seem like it's possible. But no, in answer to the question that was asked, we will not have Katie Hobbs in here someday praising her, no matter how crazy her opposition may be. We did have Donald Trump Jr. on the show in 2020. It was an odd thing, but he was calling all the radio stations, and I'm like, that's because none of us thought he'd win. Was that 16? That was 16. Jesus, that was a long time. Wow. That was 2016, because it was, because we all thought, this is crazy. Like, you've lost your mind thinking you guys are going to win this. And I just wanted to hear what he said. And I remember asking him, and it was the most sense anybody made in the presidential campaign that year, was when he said to me, when I said, you keep railing against Hillary as the elite. And I'm like, you're the elite? And he goes, not in this case, we're not. And it dawned on me right there that their game plan was to, undermine their elite behavior by acting like they're one of us. And it was working. And that was early on, and that was like in summer. And yeah. I'm like, that is going to win. They got a billionaire who's got everything made out of gold saying, I'm just like you. It's the Ed Milet and Tony Robbins trick to tell people, I'm rich, but you can be rich too. It's easy. These people are keeping you from doing it. It was the most sense anybody's ever made in that. Well, like, I get it. Like, their game plan was to just keep harping on the fact that the elite of Washington, and like, they don't, they're but he, trying you know, not to.
And at the same time, never downplayed it like he.
Oh, we're rich, sure. Yeah. But we're rich, like, the way you can
like
be.
It wasn't like he was, you know, showing up in a jean jacket, dressing down.
He was a Springsteen. He didn't pull a full Springsteen. And he just came out and he goes, look, I'm loaded. You guys can be loaded, too.
But I'm one of you.
Right, I'm one of you. I got loaded the right way. They got loaded and don't want you to be. You'll never be, no matter how rich you are, you'll never be in their circles. And he played it like, look at me. I'm a billionaire and they don't want me around. Why? Because I'm not one of them. I'm one of you guys. I'm too much like you. And it worked. Now, enough of that. Now, President Biden, we're going to bring in the Sibian now.
I almost spit.
All right, we're going to have President Biden's going to sit out and get it right inside you. There you go.
Oh, God.
I think he's going to shoot Fred Robin. I think it's going to happen right here.
Oh, God.
Right, ride that Sibian. All right, tell me about that. How fast was that? Now, you ejaculated immediately.
Oh, God.
You can get him off of it. Somebody help him.
Can you stick around with our next guest? It's Pamela Anderson.
Is we're going to Pam Anderson. Have you ever been with Pam Anderson or somebody who looks like that? Dr. Jill ever looked that good? Tell me, would you leave Dr. Jill for one night with Pam Anderson in a prime?
Oh, yeah. You know it. Fire that thing up. Oh, God.
We made him do it twice. I mean, some say he's old, but, I mean, look at the stamina. I would look. I'd pay to watch that for hours on end. All right, we want to come back. We're gonna take a little break here. We're gonna come back. The president's gonna ride the Sibian again, and he's gonna ask Pamela Anderson 10 questions. Do you shave your pubes to and then put it on your head for more hair?
I've never done that. I've thought about it.
I don't know. The world's coming to an end. I just watch those bleeding ponies right in the middle of London, and you'll agree with me that things aren't normal. Nothing's normal ever again. By the way, man, the Suns are. I just got a thing says on Bleacher Report. Kevin Durant said, "I never felt comfortable in my role alongside Devin Booker and Bradley Beal this season." You say that now? You say that now?
Says 2020.
You know how much money I spent. Hoping you'd get comfortable, you son of a bitch. Had you told me back in November, you know, it's not looking good. I don't feel very comfortable. Don't start that, you baby. It's everybody's fault but your own. You guys sucked as a group. Keep it that way. Get out there and remain. Oh, this, I'm torn. I'm a mess. By the way, Charles, who runs Aftermath Great Restaurant, says that he's going to send me a bill for the inside of his truck because Biden riding the Sibian is something he thought he'd never do.
Oh, God.
It's similar to if Brady wrote it.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Turn it up. Like Urban Cowboy. Get the horse rolling. All right. He wants more juice. Give him more juice. I didn't think I'd watch the prison ejaculate in the show today, but that's why it's the greatest show ever. Let's just do that today. I have nothing else to do. I can't do any other voices. It's great. Let's get a wake-up song. I'm losing it as we speak. Brett, what do you have up there on the big board?
I didn't pull them all up.
You didn't. So do your job.
I got some of them here. All right. Wake-up song brought to you by Action Ride Shop. Our boy Josh was out there at the U-Fest. And they got lots of stuff going on right now, getting you guys ready for mountain bike season. So now's the time to get that bike looked at, pick up a new one, whatever you need. They got all the gear right there. ActionRideShop.com, or just go visit the boys over there on Gilbert Road.
That, Southern. And it snowed 20 inches this weekend, like Friday and Thursday.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
I don't either, but you can go up and still ski. Now they're going to start manufacturing some snow, so you got a couple more weeks. I think the latest that Snowball's ever been open is the middle of May. We're pushing that. That's pretty good stuff right there.
All right, on the list, Pantera, 5 minutes alone for you and your fight with the drummer from POD. Motionless in White, just because of the show. Somebody wanted POD's Alive just because of your fight.
I tried to fight the guy. I didn't, though.
No Pity for a Coward from Suicide Silence for Johnny and the Baby Drummer.
Is that the band?
Yeah.
The guy?
Yeah. Lump Presence of the United States for Biden.
Is
B.B. King, The Thrill Is Gone for the Suns.
Oh, what a great song, though. Have we ever done that? Play a little blues to start the morning?
AC/DC Shoot to Thrill.
Is Suicide Silence?
I don't know. I'm going to pull some up. All right, we'll pull some
I feel it. Bad. Maybe I'd give that guy a few bucks. We play a song and they get a royalty. They get like 19 cents to just show up in his account one day. He won't know why, but it's because we played a song.
Apparently it's explicit, but this is No Pity for a Coward. So.
Okay, this is the one they suggested.
Oh, wait a minute. What the hell? Hang on. I got to log in.
You got to download their whole deal? Nah, I'm not interested anymore.
Are you over 18?
All right. While we wait for Britt to get that done, let's get Dr. Jill on the Sibby and then see if she can perform oral on the president while she rides. Here we go.
Oh, God.
All right. This should be it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the drummer's bad. I don't want to hear this anymore. You knew I was going to say that. What was the list again? Go back.
All right, let's see here.
Shoot the Thrill.
Shoot the Thrill, 5 minutes Alone, Lump for the Presidents, B.B. King.
Let's do Motionless in White.
Okay.
They were the winner of Friday night, let's be honest. Hell of a show, hell of a night. Everything was great. But if anybody walked away and didn't say, Motionless in White has my attention.
Somebody wanted any band with a dead singer.
So many to choose.
In This Moment. Volbeat, Last Day Under the Sun for the Suns.
Oh, we could do that.
Fire.
Let's do
sky.
That. Okay. Volbeat, Last Day Under the Sun. All right. Although I want to play a little Motionless in White, I think.
We can do both.
You're not wrong. Let's do both. We'll do Motionless in White and Volbeat for the Suns and for our big win on Friday. We had a win as a station on Friday with an absolutely great show. You guys were awesome hanging out with us. Congratulations to our winner. His last name's Marquez, if I remember. Anthony? Was it Anthony Marquez? I don't remember his first name. Did a little drinking Friday. I can't remember. And then Hopkins turns to me Friday and he goes, didn't plan the night well. Oh, yeah? I'm going to need a ride. I'm like, I'm not driving you back to Albuquerque. You live too far away. Take me somewhere in the middle. So he piles in my car and we end up at Tempe Marketplace and had quesadillas at Bar Louie. I drank nothing but Coke Zero for like the last 2 hours. So I was fine. But Doug was just sitting there staring at the floor. I needed to plan this out better. The person that gave him a ride left early. So we could have left TV's Doug Hopkins right there at the venue. It would have been pretty great. All the way around. Fun night. Motionless and White stole the show, I think. And it was a high bar to steal. Even though they wanted to fight me, POD was great. Bad Wolves was great.
The Offspring.
There wasn't a band on there. You're like, they're okay.
You were entertained the whole night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
all night long, you're like, this is a great show. And kudos to Larry McFeely for throwing that thing together and all the folks at Live Nation. I mean, Larry works hard on those. Doesn't get the credit he deserves for it. But he does work very hard to get those things put together. And
it went flawless.
It was fairly
from us
simple.
On the broadcast to the bands on stage. I mean, it was great.
Yeah. Larry does a great job with that. We give him a lot of grief around here, but that dude busts it for this kind of stuff. And it's mainly because he honestly does want the listener experience to be great. I think they had a good one Friday.
Mostly. We had it was during Chevelle's set where they stopped.
A guy got hurt.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, really, he stopped the song immediate, yeah. Saw it, and it took about 5 minutes.
I got him out. It's the coach of the Timberwolves, Chris Finch, blew his knee out there, too. Yeah, and the guy couldn't get around this weekend. Tough night. Yeah, so that was pretty weird because they had to stop the show because somebody got hurt. Hopefully that person's okay. I don't even know what happened, but evidently they, I don't know, they fell or something, broke their leg. I don't.
Yeah,
I,
they walked him, you know, saw him walk him right out, right by us, probably about 15 feet away, and either he fell or I thought limping. Maybe they had to do the...
I don't know what happened.
The revival.
They, oh, you thought he did a Narcan.
Maybe, I don't know.
You thought he was Narcan'd out. That could be.
Hopefully yeah. It's just a fall and he knocked yeah. out. And they got
no, him. No, I actually root for your way. I think Narcan at our show is a better story. We Narcan'd a guy back to life right there. Chevelle brought it out. Pretty solid.
But they wouldn't have walked him out. If that
they
was
sure they would have. Yeah. Why not? Absolutely. Wake up, you're coming with me, and you're going to have a hell of a, you're gonna have a hell of a headache in a second.
Hey, it's not weird. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fee.
I have heard enough of this.
UPD. Holmberg's morning sickness.
You've been deceived by an agent of Satan himself? He's evil?
Sitting right here. Come on.
No, no, he's not evil. He's just a bit rude.
98 UPD.
It's time now for Brady to give you all the news that you missed this weekend doing whatever it was you were doing. And it's called the Brady Report, and it's brought to you by our friends over at Hooters. This is it, isn't it? This is the last week of April.
Sure is.
Holy smokes. Flying through. Well, we don't have basketball. We don't have football yet. Mercury starts in a week or two.
So we still don't have basketball.
We don't have basketball still. But you do have baseball. And all the baseball games that you want to watch are right there at Hooters. You can swing in, as they say, for happy hour from 3 to 6. Check out their beer of the month for April. For another few days. And you do it right there at Hooters, and you say, thanks for this Brady Report. Brady Report it.
Good Monday morning to you, Phoenix. Hello, world.
Hi.
Happy Poem in Your Pocket Day.
Poem?
Poem.
What does that mean?
So they started it years ago. Just
it's not a thing.
Talking really about the history of Poem in Your Pocket Day. Goes back to the days before humans.
No.
Know how to pen down no. words.
The
first poems are believed to have been spoken words and passed down through oral tradition.
Right. How do you keep that in your pocket?
Humans.
Yeah. And if it was just orally.
It's been around for a long time, okay. Poem in Your Pocket
None
Day.
Of that made sense, though, because you said that it's been around before people could write down stuff.
Yeah, I think the guy started in 1977.
Because yeah, you can't put things you can't write down in your pocket. You can't put words in your pocket if you don't know words.
Couple of basic fun facts. Yeah.
Who's doing poetry before we could write? Like, there was a guy who was poetic with the language, but nobody could write.
A lot of it started with
cavemen.
They called it like chants, and like the biblical days was.
Very a long time before biblical days.
Ballin'. Oh, no, it goes back 2500 BC.
Right. But there was writing.
The
there
oldest
was writing
one
then.
Was. Pyramid texts written in the 25th century BC. The first ever speculative fiction poem is believed to be the tale of the shipwrecked sailor.
Yeah, but they wrote it down.
Maybe using pictures and
that's
stuff.
Still writing it down.
Yeah.
But they didn't have poems before they had letters.
Yeah, they had oral poems.
Right, but then you had words. They were writing that stuff down. By the time they could wax poetic.
Nope, they just put it in the ether, John.
I don't think they were writing stuff down.
Dear sun
down orally
sky.
Before it started.
Beer. Fun guy.
Hey, what was that?
Poetry.
Oh,
you should write that down. With what? Oh, yeah.
What is right?
You just
write
learn it.
What down?
You learn it.
Well, then you don't put it in your pocket. The whole day is.
We started putting it in our pocket in 77.
Right. Yeah. In the late, in the Carter administration.
But then the Iliad and, you know, Odyssey, yeah. Just really, you got to have big pockets for that.
Right. That's, and those were written down. Pretty sure those weren't on the sides of caves. Yeah. Hell of a cave. Homer wrote the whole thing on a wall. You're going to be here for a while.
Channing Tatum played a bartender in Ricky Martin's She Bangs video. He's paid $400.
Nice.
See if Brett knows this one. House Music got its name.
From the warehouse in Chicago.
Bingo.
Nice. Brett Vesley. No kidding. I would have had no answer for that.
Zero.
Michael Phelps was rated the second best swimmer in the country in his age group when he was 10. The kid who was number one, Chris Humphreys.
Oh.
The NBA player who married Kim Kardashian for 12 minutes.
Yeah, a half-hour marriage to the Kardashians. The wedding was longer than the marriage.
The step in words like stepmother or stepchild doesn't come from the fact that they're the one step away from being blood related. It comes from an old English word, stiap, which meant deprived of relative, of a relative. So orphans were called stiap children.
Ah. By the way, you don't realize with your ambiguity how you drive this entire town crazy. Me first. Immediately, emails. Wait a minute. We had pockets before we had written word. That's a good point, too. If there's put a poem in your pocket predates when we could write things down, how do you tell somebody you needed pockets? Where's the cave with all these instructions? When did we, like paper? We had pockets before paper? Probably like a pouch.
Yeah, but what are you putting in the pouch?
Not poetry.
Rocks with letters on it?
No, mostly like dead rabbit.
It'd be like dice.
Your stuff for your lips, you know.
Oh, yeah. The women back then had to have balm. Even cave girls hated dry lips.
The first purse.
Yeah, probably the first pockets were a caveman going, ugh, and like a really bad tissue. And a good name. Ugh.
Hold this. You have pockets.
I hate pockets.
Skin hanky.
Day in the life of me. Yeah. Oh, it's constant. But yeah, a cave girl had to have her balm. But I'm pretty sure your pocket was just filled with blood and dead meat. It's really all you needed back then. You didn't have change or a wallet.
Hot dog saved a guy's life in Omaha on Friday.
I can't wait for this.
Tornado destroyed his house, but he was out buying hot dogs at a gas station when it happened. Saved by glizzies.
That's right. That's right. Don't laugh at it. You just encourage more of it.
It's something.
It is something. Did you see those tornadoes this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Those people I watched a couple of those videos of those Subaru storm-chasing mobiles just driving right into it, kind of backing up after. Whoa, it's turning.
There was a massive one that people just were like, we can't drive away. That thing must have been a mile long. I've never seen one take up that much ground.
That's what I was telling Lisa. I'm like, where do you go? The one that was filmed from the neighborhood was down the street. Yeah. And behind them was another one.
Yeah, they were getting... Again, why do people live there?
Right.
I don't... I've
Is
said it
25 over the weekend?
Yeah, there were a ton, at least. I'll say it again. I've said this a million times. If we lived in Mountain Spinning Alley, where once a year, for about a month, it was unpredictable when Camelback Mountain was going to get up and walk around, I wouldn't live here. They live in it. And it destroys everything regularly, and they just stand on rubble. Hillbilly after hillbilly. Just like, we're going to have to rebuild. Like, stop living in flat, open spaces in Tornado Alley. Well, my family's lived here for years. Yep. And they were dumb, too.
They can find someplace else.
It's the same with hurricanes, too.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it. But tornadoes are guaranteed every year to, like, threaten you. Again, real estate agent says, this is a nice house. But I have to warn you, you're in mountain spinning territory. What's that mean? Oh, every October, Camelback Mountain gets up and storms around for a little bit. We never know what direction. It just gets up and wrecks stuff? Yeah, every year.
Takes out 400 or 500 homes.
Every single year. Every year. Really, PAP goes into it too, but it's not as big. It messes stuff up too. Why would anyone live here? Good prices.
Beats us. We're making
Family's
money.
Family's been doing it for years. But yeah, beware. We have mountain spinning season.
24 years ago, a cop in Indiana named Gene Eister saved a baby boy after someone abandoned him in a cardboard box. Now they're in the news after Gene found out the kid grew up to become a cop. 24-year-old Matthew Stewart is a rookie cop with the same police department Gene worked for.
Saw that on CBS Sunday Morning. They said he saved the kid, but he walked by the box and left it and brought back a teddy bear and then went about his duties. So he didn't really save it.
If you see a kitten, you're like, should I take it home? Then you walk by, I can't leave him there.
Let someone know.
Bring him back a little can of food, and then you tell somebody, like, I'll take him. By the way, Beowulf is considered the oldest surviving poem in the English language. That's English. It says the author of the poem is unknown and referred to as Beowulf poet. The date of the poem's composition is unknown. Arguments have been made for the origin as early as 7th century CE. Is that the before the zero?
No, that's after.
It is?
Yeah.
That's the oldest?
Christ extinction?
7th century. We had words before 800.
That's why your argument with what he had was...
Romans.
Right.
Yeah, they're saying even... You know, in the Egyptian time too.
Wait, you have before. To use his. You have to time start out. Using his thing and say, "My sources tell me."
Yeah, do that. Does CE mean Christ extinction or
no? No,
okay, I was
no.
Like, wow, we got really graphic with that one. I've never seen CE before.
They changed it from
AD BC
AD and BC
to AM and PM.
Yes.
How come we don't have that then?
Tungus
we
is
should
out
have
there and has all
convenience
that.
Stores that are AD BC. Or BCAD, I guess.
Well, you have the
order.
ABC stores in Hawaii, so
how do you
maybe
do that?
You could change those.
So I don't know anything about Beowulf, but I'm annoyed by this whole poetry thing. Can't it just be pizza day again, Brady?
Soon.
Tomorrow, yeah. Probably.
A new poll asks people, when you encounter cute things like animals or babies, how often you feel an urge to squeeze them affectionately?
Never. Not kids. This is a...
19% said always, 21% said usually.
The always people are on a list.
31% said sometimes, 15% said rarely, and 10% said zero.
Watch this, because I want to write something down. I'm going to prove Nostradamus is correct. I'm going to write the thing down, and then I'm going to fold it up and give it to Toledo. All
right. Put it in his pocket?
Yeah, put this, it's a poem. Put it in your pocket, and it's Beowulf. Hang on to that. Yeah. Brett, you and I are sitting at lunch.
Yeah.
I have predicted Brett's answer. Somebody comes up to us and says, can I take a quick poll real quick? And we say, okay. And question number one from the pollster is, how often when you see something cute do you want to squeeze it? What's your answer?
We're playing match game?
Yeah. What do you say to that person? You don't have to write it down. Just say it.
Well, are we talking kids or are we just talking in general?
You and I.
I said kids, animals,
kids,
and babies.
Kids, animals, babies. Right. Somebody comes up while we're eating lunch and says, I'd like to ask you a question.
Okay.
They ask the question, how often do you want to squeeze a cute thing? What do you say?
The F away from me, first of all.
What did I write down? Get the F out of here.
The F out of here.
Are you serious?
Reveal the answer.
Get out of here. You're not trying to convert me, are you?
All I could picture was Brett and I sitting at a nice patio, sucking down noodles, and somebody goes, can I ask you guys a question? Sure, go ahead. If you see something cute, don't you just want to squeeze it? Get the f*** out of here. Weirdo.
The demographic who doesn't want anything to do with cute babies and animals, men age 45 and older.
Cheers.
There you go. Salute.
Salute, my friend. But how do they even get an answer from anybody any age with some nutbag with a clipboard going, if you see a cute puppy, kitty, or baby, do you want to squeeze it? Yeah, you need to get the out of here. Brett's right.
In Lawton, Oklahoma, there's a bent warrant issued for a substitute teacher who was substitute teaching a 7th grade class for, it looks like, 4 days. And she's in trouble because... she wanted to be friends with one of the students and kept offering her vape pen to the kid in between.
That's no good.
Yeah. 3 times it happened.
By the way, Toledo's being credited for coming up with the most badass band name ever, Christ Extinction. You can see the shirt, CE.
Nice.
Christ Extinction is pretty solid. I thought that's what that was.
No, I just assumed. Because he's got to have Christ in there somewhere.
What does CE stand for?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Because BC was before Christ, right?
No, no, it had something else.
No.
It was like some like anti-dominion or whatever it was.
Yeah,
Christ. One of those things. And BC had its own deal, too. Anni Domini. I forget what AD is. Something Latin.
It's right in that wheelhouse.
Yeah. You should know it. You had to study that crap.
That's BC is before Christ. Refers to the number of years before Christ was born. AD or Anno Domini refers to the period after Christ was born.
So they just started calling
CE means Christ? Common era.
Ah.
BCE, before the common era.
Like
for
the
those non-religious.
Super Bowl era versus the.
There you go. Yeah.
Everything changed in 66.
Asterix. Everyone was on steroids back then, and they had a.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because, yeah, it was
well,
back in the steroid
poetry in the pockets.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but a Delta flight had to turn around shortly after takeoff because the pilots felt a vibration in the plane. One of the emergency slides ejected out of the plane.
Was
while
it was hanging there?
Off. Yeah.
Oh. How does that happen with a door opening? I am turning into Biden.
How's that happen? How do we do that?
They declared an emergency.
Yeah, I was there.
Turned the plane around, landed it safely.
Whee!
I bet you push Biden down a slide, he'd do that.
Whee!
100%.
I'm an old man, I say whee, whee!
It came off.
Your
the slide came off.
He probably does that when he pees. And other things.
Jill, whee!
I have to picture that. Well, we probably found out when he got interviewed by Stern.
Tell me, what noise do you make when you ejaculate? I just need to know.
Whee! That was a peach.
Speaking of whee, there's a designer brand in the UK. They just debuted an $800 pre-stained or jeans that make it look like you peed your pants.
Pee-stained?
Oh. Yeah.
Pee-stained, pre-stained.
Yep.
They stain them to look like you wet yourself.
$800 are sold out. There's a picture.
Biden will be wearing those.
Whee! making to make it pee-pee.
Hey, why would you want people to think you peed yourself?
They just auctioned off a gold watch that was on the Titanic. Belonged to the richest man in the world at the time, Jacob Astor IV. His 14-karat gold Waltham pocket watch. They're estimating it would sell for $100,000.
Did he live?
He did.
Yes.
Well, no, he didn't live. He put his pregnant wife on the last rescue boat, and then they found his body floating.
Oh.
And they swiped his watch. They got the watch. He had 225 pounds.
They raided him?
English pounds in his pocket. He had $2,400 in cash in U.S. dollars.
In 1912?
He's
the world's richest man.
Man, no kidding.
It's like Bill Gates' wallet today would be more than 2,400 pounds.
Diamond ring. And golden diamond cufflinks. So it went.
How much was $2,400 in 1912? Or when did it? 14 or 12? When did that thing sink?
I was thinking the same thing. So,
I guess about $150,000.
Well, let's see. His net worth at the time was $87 million.
That's how much he had back then. Oh, he was a billionaire.
Yeah, which they're saying equivalent to several billion dollars.
$79,000.
So it's $80,000. Just that guy had $80,000 sitting around in his pocket. It's like us walking around with $80,000 in our pocket.
And another 225 in English pounds just because he needed that cash to when they finally landed London. So
and that's probably
what? It.
That'd be another like $10,000. I don't know how it works.
Well, they're expecting $100,000 for that watch, and it went for $1.1 million.
Whoa! Wow! Take that trip, Reed.
He probably bought it.
Yeah, I have the watch.
Was an American who bought it?
Hey, what if it
there
is?
You go.
Son of a bitch! He's going to come in with the Astor watch.
Looky.
There it is. He'll have it on a chain linked to his little
just
pocket.
Just whipping it around. Yeah. So guys notice anything different about me? You're in a zoot suit and you're spinning a watch.
You're damn right.
All right. $1 million.
Let's get to some radio videos. The first one is someone dug up an old 80s ad for a hotline. You'd call to just cry. $2 for the first minute. And 45 cents each additional
minute. You would cry or they would cry to you?
No, you cry.
Why would you
got to see the ad.
Call someone to cry. Just cry.
The number 1-900-9099-CRY.
I watched a lot of TV back then and I don't remember this.
One.
Hilarious.
Oh, this is hot.
Is the lady just crying?
Oh, it's a dude.
All over America, break down and cry like
what a bitch.
Wow. Call 1-900-9099-CRY and hear it for yourself.
What's the other person on the line doing?
45 cents. I don't know. Just listening.
If you're under 18, ask your parents before you call.
Before you cry.
Yeah, ask your parents.
Can I call the cry line?
I'll give you something to cry about. You call that cry line.
That's exactly what Kurt Vessel just said.
Because an hour goes by.
You'll be crying once I get the goddamn phone bill.
Hold on. Hi, cry line. Can I help you? I see you've already started. I'll just wait it out. Like, what do you do on the other end?
Is that still in order? We should call that.
Give it a ring.
It's a 900 number.
I'll do it on my phone.
900-9099-CRY.
900-9099-CRY. Let's see what it is.
The call you are attempting to place is not allowed from this line.
It still works.
I did it wrong.
The cry line. Why not just pick up the phone and put it up against your head and pretend you called and save yourself a couple bucks? The guy on the other side's not trying to stop you from crying?
Yeah, I don't know how they start up. I guess evidently you're calling knowing you're crying. I got it. Yeah. And this is
so ugly. You're a disgusting pig. There's a reason he left you.
I can't. There isn't.
Just call me. I'll do it cheaper than that.
I know. I'll do it for free just for the fun of it.
Oh, hell yeah.
The next video.
You smell like corn nuts, lady.
I know.
Is a kid on a soccer goalie, and they're basically elevating.
Not the goalie.
Soccer goal. Sorry.
What, he's standing on the goalie?
The kid's holding the crossbar. It's tilted. He's on the goal, the soccer
goal. He's hanging off the goal.
Yeah, and then they're going to elevate it up.
All right. Oh, they're trying to push the soccer goal.
They're trying to pull it down.
Pull it down.
I'm ready when you are. Go, go.
No, this is not. They let it up. These are very heavy bars. And they're just hanging. Oh, geez, it's going to shoot him into the air. And it does. Ow! That's a broken arm. That's a wildly broken arm.
The hanger.
Oh, man. Oh, it's hanging by the.
Go, go.
Oh, that's the humerus snapping in half. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Does it make a noise?
Oh, your kid's.
Oh, God. That's horrible. Oh, I can't listen. I can't. Oh, that thing's dangling. He's got a new elbow. About 4 inches higher than his last elbow.
Next one's announcing a veteran from World War II at the Mets game, I believe.
And here he is, our veteran of the game, Seymour Wiener. And here he is.
That's a Brady special for a Monday.
Totally.
Hey, I served in World War II with Seymour Wiener. Tell me about that. Tell me about you and Seymour Wiener.
By the way, I think you sent that while you were at Kirby's tennis match on Friday. So
did he?
I know what you were watching.
Might have been.
You weren't watching that.
Should have been watching the match.
Yep.
I had to tell you, Baba Bastard, tell me about Seymour Wiener, Mr. President.
What do you want to know?
Well, he was a good man. Did you Seymour Wiener, did you ever make fun of his name?
Next one's a dude doing a live report. And a little... Well, something happens in the background.
Okay.
That the spot was standing for something patrolling the Red Sea on Gulf of Aden. The Yemeni Navy's
bunch of motorcycles and some dump.
Their army's advanced weaponry and capabilities.
Cars running around. There's a guy about to cross the road.
Should motivate other regional powers.
It's a dude in a dress crossing the street.
Against the Western hegemony.
Something's going to blow up. Another family cross the road. Oh, his family tried to run across the street, didn't make it. Yeah, there's the news story.
Let's cut it. Let's cut it.
Again, Brady's looking at an awful lot of Middle Eastern websites. All the languages, not even, it's all Middle Eastern.
Yeah, can you write that and read it by now?
No, you put it, it's poetry. They haven't invented words there yet. Wow, that's brutal.
Next one's a motorcycle accident. I think the guy hit the gas rather than the brake.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Well, now your internet's frozen. Here we go. Oh, he's weaving in and out of traffic. He's coming to the stoplight. Oh, no! He goes right into the back of a little Honda something or other. Just mashes his face into the back of it. Whoops. Oh.
What the hell did he do?
Yikes. He just gassed it.
It looks like he took his one arm off and then was trying to make up.
Oh, yeah.
Steering the scooter.
It almost seems like he accelerated, though.
Yeah, because I think he was trying to turn the wheel.
Yeah. I think he leaned back and his hand just gassed it. Oh, my goodness. Sell your bike.
Next one's for John.
That's it. Let's...
No more?
That's too many. Okay.
Too many. Wow. Dumb ones.
I don't have any, so.
Oh, you want that one?
All right.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm.
All right. Brett's dry. So Brady gets his last one that Toledo has already put up a red flag over.
He sent me like 12 this week. I'm like, that's too many.
Save some for tomorrow.
This one's for John, obviously.
You got nothing.
Huh?
This guy tops
you. Big nose? Yeah. Oh, look at the size of that schnoz. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I feel like I'm in this.
Okay, well.
No, I'm not.
No. No.
That's how I feel, though.
My God.
Wow.
That is the biggest nose. That is kind of how I feel when I look in the mirror. And I see pictures of myself. I saw people were texting me when they saw me on TV last night with the Suns game. And I had my head turned, and I was clapping when Coach Finch got drug out by us. And people were like, what are you clapping for his injury? I'm like, no, I'm saying, go get him, Coach. You know, way to go, stuff like that. You know, it was encouraging. But then I looked down at the picture. My nose is just huge. But it's not that big. That dude's beyond, like, that's beyond
that's
big
a
nose.
Beak.
That's just hilarious. Like, I'd keep that just
like, for he me. Knows. He knows yeah. It's hilarious.
Mine's just so big. It still looks like I'm trying. It still looks like I'm you have a nose like that, you just dress that thing up. It's hilarious. All right. You don't have any, Brett?
No, I'm dry this weekend.
Double good. All right. There you go. That is your Brady Report, brought to you by our friends over at Hooters.
Hey, it's not weird. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fee.
I have heard enough of this.
UPD. I don't know what it says about our show. And that it's, you know, where it sits. But my emails today are just pretty much asking us to not ever do anything other than Stern and Biden on the Sibia. Is that a good thing? You have the real Stern interviewing the real Biden. And then you come here to the poor man's Stern show. And you have the fake Stern, Red Robin, Baba Bastard, and Brettle Juice interviewing the fake Biden on the Sibia. I think that's the better show. Before we get to the Guadalupe replay, I have to tell you this. I think Bus, my dog, that has become somewhat of a local celebrity. People recognize Bus. I add him out, and they're like, is this Bus? I'm like, oh, my God. Hi, how are you? Yes, that's Bus. My gay neighbors have started the process of moving back into their home that's been under construction for a while. And so they've been at the house, and they hadn't met Bus. So they're like, go get Bus. We're going to see Bus. I'm like, all right. So Bus goes over to their house. He's hanging out with their dog, Huxley, and stuff. And, you know, we go through the house, beautiful, all the stuff inside, and it's nice. And then Bus is in the front yard playing with their dog, Huxley. And then Bus goes over and in front of the gays takes a huge dump and stares at them with the biggest boner I've ever seen on a dog in my life. And I'm like, I told him, I'm like, I think he knows about Blumpkins because of you guys. My dog, like, he's... That's a hilarious joke at a gay guy's house. He was intimidating.
They know you trained him.
Well, you go over there. If you take a dump in that front yard, I swear to God, whip out your wang.
It's treat time.
Just show it to him. He did. He broke out his huge dork. Hey, guys, you in for a little game over here? I'm making a pile of fun for you. Laugh for a half an hour.
Oh, good boy.
I didn't know you could train a dog to be hilarious. But it was a pretty good one, so I got to give it to Bus. Tip of the cap. Also got to say to a guy, I rode my bike downtown yesterday before the Suns game. I rode it to the H&H Ranch. And I don't know, it's like a 9-mile ride. It's easy. Central on a Sunday, by the way. Great ride. Nobody's out. So mid-afternoon, I'm riding down Central, and there's a fat guy on a bike with big fat tires. It's a beach cruiser. Beach cruisers have one speed. Now I'm on a bike that costs an astronomical amount of money with a load of gears. I can
the e-bike or
no, just on a regular bike. But I can manipulate like green light, red light by shifting down. You know, we slow down. You always have a free pedal a little bit better, so you're not struggling to start over. I'm cruising. I see this fat guy on the bike, and I'm like, ah, great. End up catching up with him, and I've got to either stay behind him because I'm on the road or go around him. For about a mile and a half, I'm like, fat guy's getting ahead of me. So I start like humping it a little bit. I'm like, I got to get to the fat guy, at least gauge this. So finally, fat guy hits a light, and I go by him and start fresh at the light, and I'm ahead, and I'm like, now we've got something.
You're dusting it.
And I am pushing. And keep in mind, now he's riding this thing and barely pedaling because it's only got one speed. Another 2 miles goes by. And now I'm down at the ASU campus area right downtown. And I turn my head, and he's right next to me, like Jason from the movie. I'm like, how the hell is fat guy? Like, I'm doing all I can to, and this fat guy is barely trying. He's right on my ass. Not an e-bike, nothing. I'm like, he must have an electric bike. Then we get over by Copper Blues. Just dusts me. I got nothing left in the tank. So fat guy on the bike yesterday going down Central in a balaclava and a hat and a sweatshirt that was like a size quintuple X. Just effortlessly burned me all the way down Central.
And a Huffy beat you?
Yeah, and it was one of those. It was one of those. I'm riding this pivot.
Like must have been a hell of a brunch down there.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe he was either late for a brunch or like he's the chef and if he gets there early, he gets a free meal. They wasn't dressed for biking. He had like jeans on. I'm in workout shorts. I got the whole thing going. Cooking it. And I'm trying to go fast. Could not shake him. He was a biking dingleberry. But I have to tip my cap. And he gets over to, because we have to cut through. So I cut through the city, whatever that thing is where Copper Blues is. City Center?
Cityscape.
Cityscape, I guess.
Cityscape.
And he rode to the, he gave me a look too, like he knew. And he got to these stairs and he put the bike on his shoulder to go up to the second floor. And he looked at me like, good ride. You son of a bitch, how did you do that? You. Teach me.
Tortoise in the hair, he caught you.
Teach me. It wasn't tortoise in the hair.
I thought you were flying by him.
No, it was the hair. And the fat hair. There was no tortoising. There was nobody loafing. I was trying, and he was just up my ass. It would be like if the turtle ran as fast as he could, and the hair's just right there. The hair wasn't messing around. I couldn't shake.
How the story's supposed to go.
Yeah, fat guy's supposed to be huffing and puffing way back there. Nope. He looks at me, too, and I didn't really get a good look at his face. Gray, goatee, like probably 75. Fat. It pissed me off all the way. I couldn't figure it out. But anyway, so to my dog and his comedy in the front yard of the gays and fat old man who beat me on a bike yesterday, what a weekend. Let's get back to something else. Guadalupe replay is happening now because we don't like to do things on a Monday. Why would we? So let's replay something from Friday. Included the Cardinals draft king, Steve Keim. He's no longer part of the franchise, but he's still partying. And giving advice to other people on TV, which I don't know how anybody pays the drunken Steve Keim to say, here's how you GM, because whatever he says, do the opposite. The man destroyed a franchise multiple times. He tried to rebuild them and failed at it so badly that with his rebuild, they went 3-13 and started over again the next year. And he kept his job. I don't get it. Arnold and Sly were in there, everything else. It's your Guadalupe replay, everybody. It's 98.
Hey, it's not weird. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fee.
I have heard enough of this.
UPD. Holmberg's morning sickness.
You've been deceived by an agent of Satan himself. He's evil.
Sitting right here. Come on.
No, he's not evil. He's just a bit rude.
98 UPD.
All right. It's the offspring right there. I screwed up. I put the wrong thing in the system. There we go. It's time now for What Would Brady Do? Let's get it right. What would Brady do? For some reason, I put in the Rock Wars stuff. No reason at all. We were about to just do a Monday Rock Wars no one was prepared for. It happens. Also, and again, I'm getting nonstop requests to just be the poor man's Howard Stern show the rest of the way. I think that's an insult. At this point, I'm getting a little POD about it. I'm getting a little offended. A guy named Sean used to work here, has an interesting theory of why, because I'm still, my head won't wrap around the Biden-Stern interview at all. I didn't hear it, but it's like people are taking quotes from it, like, you know, Anderson Cooper interviewed Biden. Like, this is, it's just so strange to me that Stern is, because it's the same as Trump being president. It's like, that guy should never have, he's a great interviewer. But anyway, so the fact that people are taking things from this and kind of ignoring the source is weird. But Phil's has a good point, because he said there's a reason why Stern is so angry at Trump that's beyond politics, and that he's just kind of abandoned that fight the man thing, become the man for the Democratic Party. And he has a theory that has not dawned on me. He thinks that Trump may have banged his wife.
And that makes tons of sense why Stern would be so hell-bent on getting Donald Trump.
That
interesting.
Something happened back in New York. And now that's all, like, Phil, since you said that to me, that's all I'm thinking about.
My wife and I, look, Beth had sex with Trump. There's no lie. I can't tell. So now I'm trying to get the guy not elected. I can't. I don't want to, you know, Red Robin, what I'm talking about.
Yum.
Brettle juice. I would rather have you sleep with Beth than Trump. That's the truth. So we're going to have Joe Biden on. He's going to ride the Sibian again. Here he goes.
To president on the Sibian. Which evidently is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Yeah, that's an interesting theory. Because for me, I struggled. Maybe I just haven't listened to Howard for years now, so I just don't know where he's gone with that show. But to me, it doesn't make any sense. Because like you said, it just doesn't add up that he would have a bunch of people say, don't ask this, you can't go here.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of why people liked him. Is that he never was a shill, or at least seemed to never be one.
Those interviews, for the most part, are there to do nothing but promote.
Right.
They can't act. No holds, like that, right. Unless they're doing equal time.
Right. No holds barred is the furthest thing from an interview with a politician. They're no fun to interview, because you're basically saying, here's a weird way to get you to get to a talking point. That's why they hate. That's why they send out press secretaries. So they can deal with guys like Peter Doocy from Fox, who's going to ask, but he... When I did that Caliendo cast and we talked to, what was his name? Major. He's great, too. He got drunk during the podcast. He was awesome. But he even said that. He goes, sometimes the president looks at you and says, I dare you to ask me that. And you know you're about to get shredded and you just have to sit back and eat it. Major Garrett.
Yeah.
Here's a list of questions that have been approved for me to ask. I mean, that's the opposite. It's like when Jimmy Fallon tussled Trump's hair and everybody said, what are you doing?
This one kind of feels like Stern didn't. And the world doesn't make sense.
I want to know two things.
Because in there, you know, if you're hearing, you're the White House.
Yeah.
And you'd hear something like Trump or Howard Stern say, trust me, I got this interview.
I'm not going to go down that road.
You don't have anything to worry about.
I love your stance on Israel. I think that's great. You got to get rid of these politicians. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever been with a Jewish broad?
He had to just fight every instinct inside him. God,
the last time you were in a Jew broad, tell me about it. Did you ever bang a Palestinian? Why aren't you mad at them?
I was doing what I do. I'm not mad at anybody.
You got to get in there. You got to shoot all of them, I think.
Like, he would say something ridiculous.
I understand why he did it. He got $95 billion for that interview.
There could be that. Now, there's that. And there's why. This is why Stern was the king. Is because you never assumed someone paid him to be a certain thing. And he probably took money at one point or another to do interviews. But this one. Make Biden ride the seat.
While we're talking Israel and Palestine, get Dr. Jill on that. There she goes.
And let's see if Hunter can smell out where the coke is. We've got five lines. Some's powdered sugar.
Which one? Will Hunter go directly to the cocaine by smell? He's like a canine officer.
Line cutting race.
we have a son, Hunter. He's outside. He's right now. He's going to run a 40-yard dash. But we've put chalk down. What you don't know is we used real cocaine for the lines in the race. We think Hunter's going to figure it out about 12 yards into the 40.
We switched out.
We switched out all of the powdered sugar for the donuts for cocaine. Will Hunter know? He'll take a bite immediately and go, hey, this is cocaine, and we'll know he's had it.
Anyway, Brady, are you ready?
Ready.
All right. What would Brady do is brought to you by, well, the world makes no sense. It's time we turn to Brady and say, you know what? Fix it. The most moral man in all of Phoenix is here. It's brought to you by Mo Money Pawn. They've got M&P guns. Did you do the gun thing Saturday?
I didn't. I had a postponer.
Oh, no.
I had a postponer. I'll be in the next class.
Looking forward to you building something.
Yeah, no, I will. I will. Right. I'm excited about it.
Well, they just had one Saturday, and there'll be more. The good news is Brett missed it Saturday. Probably just deadbeat from Friday.
Yeah, it was kind of. I was texting with Byron. He's like, after U-Fest, don't worry about it. We'll get you in the next one.
Did you wake up that morning and go, I'm out of Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Had a robe.
That's pretty much exactly what I said.
Walked down the driveway, yep, got the newspaper.
I'm not going anywhere. Ah, Maroon. Brett gave me a Maroon on Friday. I don't remember why, but we're standing. Oh, somebody was coming up to us, and we were kind of.
Yeah.
I forgot. We won't say who, because it walks up, and he goes, ah, Maroon. I don't know what that is, but it works. Anyway, he'll get to M&P Guns and rebuild that. You're going to do a Glock?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've already done the AR class. They got it all, so definitely head on over there.
Build your own. Save yourself some money while you do it. And then check out all they've got to offer inside M&P Guns, which is part of Mo Money Pond, 12th Street and Indian School, and we thank them for this. First one says, Dear Brady. Man, my voice. Hold on.
Clear it out.
It isn't cleared. It's so dry. I am a crushed cracker. Great band name, Crushed Crackers.
I like that.
I do. I feel like I got sand in my throat.
Grinding polyps.
Ooh, I probably am hurting myself somehow. Dear Brady, my wife says intimacy hurts. We manually please each other now, but she's not comfortable with actual sex anymore. I think it's because I'm over 300 pounds. She also says that I'm allowed to have sex with someone else since she's no longer willing to do that with me. I love her very much. She loves me very much. But that is a missing part of our relationship. If this was you, what would you do? Bradley.
Lose some weight.
Yeah, drop weight. Yeah. What's the matter with you? But maybe she does have, maybe it isn't because you're 300 pounds. Maybe she is having that.
And sex if pain. She is, which is happening, there's a couple of things that could happen, you know, going through the change.
Oh, boy.
And it just turns after having a kid. Sometimes that can change things around, but it's usually the hormonal thing.
Yeah.
It could take a year to get over, could take longer or a shorter amount of time. It's tough.
Well, screw that.
Yeah, screw that. And also, but, you said the change, and I heard my dad's car start and drive away. He hates that. Hates the phrase the change.
But
he will Toledo any woman going through the change. If a waitress comes by and she's in her late 40s, my dad's like, uh-oh. If she brings the wrong drink, let's get out of here. She's going through the change. He's horrified of menopause. Even still, he's 76. He's seen it.
But it's a huge step. At least they have an agreement, or they're not having a problem necessarily doing other things.
Giving you hands and stuff.
Yeah. But I would definitely lose some weight if you can.
That's going to help.
That's probably a deal with her that maybe it is affecting her.
Yeah, you're too heavy.
And she doesn't want to.
She can get on top.
Tell you.
That's true. But if you're 300 pounds.
If you got to go too much, that's.
Look, if you're 300 pounds and your wife's like, I don't want to do this anymore. It hurts too much. Yeah, you're probably too fat. Second, she's just not that attracted to you. Like, you're 300
Again,
pounds.
Again, if you started out in the deal at 175 and now you're 300, that's different.
Think but if she
you,
did
if
that.
If you're going into it that size.
Right.
Maybe a little different.
Yeah, if
but
she
still.
Married you and you were humongous, then yeah, she got no excuse. Yeah.
But it can always help.
And what do we say about the whole you can have sex with somebody else since I can't do it?
It's a trap.
Yep.
Prepare to be halved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just prep the halve. Get that paring knife. Prepare for half. Yeah, like. You look in your house and just look down the hallway and go, that's a nice side of the house. That's not yours anymore. The house is now half yours. You're out. You don't get to use it anymore. But, yeah. Also, to the ladies who are like, oh, it hurts. Is it just the front? I don't think that whole change Brady's on about affects your bee.
There's so many options. There's so many other options.
You're right. So, she can climb on top.
You have not exhausted 67% of the possibilities.
Yeah.
You got that gab you won't stop telling me how much everything hurts with. You can put that to better use. And then, you know, you don't have to look at my 300-pound body anymore if you just roll over.
That's an easy 2 years of time.
Yeah, we could kill this menopause time. I'm sorry that hurts. This probably is going to hurt at first, but you'll get
used
to it.
This will make up for it. Easy.
I mean, we're not the most sensitive lovers, but if you're not doing anything at all, you got to start opening new parts of the store, you know?
And then if after the halving, if that were to happen, it's amazing how that pain goes away now that they're back in the playing field again.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, it doesn't hurt anymore when they got a new fella involved. If you got a store and you close the bread aisle every day, you can't keep the tortilla aisle closed, too. I need my starches. This is a good one here. Yeah, you're in a pickle because you're fat and your wife thinks you're gross. That's one. B, Brady's right, the change. C, she's being a little selfish. You got to fulfill the needs. Dear Brady, my stepson took $200 from my wallet, and I know he did it. And I've been waiting for him to tell me and apologize. But this weekend, I found out that he took that money and bought me a golf bag and awesome golf balls for my birthday. Do I tell him I know how this happened or keep these sweet gifts? He's 14. He's a little turd. We've had a lot of problems because he's my stepson, but it's coming around. This is a nice moment through a horrible act. What would Brady do, Brian? He bought him. It's no different than your wife.
What I'm doing is, I'm letting that one go.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Don't you teach him like stealing?
Again, he's a thieving little prick.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, you're teaching him that stealing is okay.
He's covering his ass.
I'm letting that go, but I'm going to talk to him about that.
Well, you're not letting it go.
Well, on another occasion, I mean, if it happens again.
You want the golf bag.
This is the first time.
Brady likes the
exactly what it is.
I would have been spending that money anyway.
If Kirby took money from Ronnie and bought you a present, would you be like,
all right, that's our little secret.
If she took it to buy something for herself, but she was buying something for me.
You're an accomplice. You're a thieving accomplice. If she's taking it from you, even.
Yeah.
If she stole it and bought you something with it, it's still bad. And you're worse for wanting the present.
They get one time on that.
As long as the present's good.
If he wanted that present, he would have went out and bought it himself.
All right. Yeah. Watch this. She steals $200 and comes back with a salad shooter.
We're having a talk.
Yeah, that is not going to fly at Brady's house. Yeah, you can't teach a kid that worked unless the bag is awesome. And probably, what is a good golf bag? It's about $150 for a nice one. I know the real good ones are really expensive.
Three bones now.
But you can get
$250.
But you can't go to like a regular one, get like a travel, like a standard for a couple $100.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. How much did the kid steal?
$200. So I'm guessing.
And a good bag's $300?
Well, golf balls are.
He could get a bag for. $150.
Depends on what he got him for golf balls, but a case of those, $50.
But if he came home with,
kids covering his ass.
A dozen top flights and something, now you're talking to him.
Yeah, you break me top rocks in some weird pink bag that's.
It says Rawlings on the bag. I'm like, wait a minute. There.
You wouldn't keep the you. You talk to him even if he had bought you a real nice one. Like, I know where you got the money. You're working that money off at the very least. I appreciate that you did this.
Appreciate the present. Hey, where'd you get the money for it?
Right. He knows. I would tell him. I know you stole it.
Yeah.
That's a CYA.
Just so you know, don't do that again.
Your kid's doing it to more than just you, too. Dear Brady, the third one starts. Get this. This broad's nuts. Melissa is her name. I want to leave my boyfriend. He's the man I actually left my husband for, and I want to leave him to get back with my husband. He wants me back. Following?
Yeah.
Left a guy for this guy, wants to leave this guy for that guy.
Back to the original.
My life is a disaster. Yes, I have kids with both of them, so John and Bert can eat S-word. Just knowing it, we'd be like, or.
It's your own fault, pal.
So she's got kids with both guys. She was married to one, left for the other one, made babies with him, or maybe had him before, and now wants to leave this guy for the last guy. So help me make a decision. I still am very much in love with both of them. Melissa.
No, you're not.
Make a decision. I'll help the other two guys, saying don't have anything to do with her other than she can be a stepmom to the kids.
She's a mom to both of them.
That's what I'm saying. She can have visitation.
That's not going to work. She's going to get them all the time.
She is. I'll tell you what she's doing. She's going to go back to the original guy.
Right. That's what she's saying.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing I can do to tell her. And then my thought would be, if there's a tendency, who knows what happens in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. What would you do if you were Melissa?
Oh, I'm... Jeez. Guess I'd be going back to
exactly what you do. You look in the mirror and say, I am a crazy bitch and I need to straighten this out and I don't need to drag people with me.
You can manipulate.
Yeah, you're nuts. You're one of those loony broads. You know, you
it's
make
not
a decision,
fair to either one.
Not fair to anybody.
But she's already.
Grass isn't always greener.
And it does. Well, clearly, she keeps going back to the yard after the water goes. Yeah. How about straighten your own life out without dragging anybody in it? Leave both of them. Let them both go. Let them be the father to your kid. You be a mom and figure out what you're doing without this mess. You're creating mess. Have you ever seen? Has anyone ever seen Jerry Springer? Why do people keep living that life?
I'm sure those other two guys, they might get along. Maybe she could just be a wife to both of them.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. She's kind of doing it now. It's just, you know, you could save a lot of money if the guys are in on it.
Yeah, I'm sure they would like that.
Sure. Hey, the husband's asking for her back. So it's time that they all had their moment.
Wonder if he's booting his.
If he's got something too. Oh, jeez. And how many other kids are involved? Ex-husband's probably got a kid with somebody. There's kids all over the goddamn place. Any wonder this nation's falling apart? It's people like Melissa.
Donovan said, ask Melissa who has the better trailer. That'll help her make up her mind.
Says you guys have to have shirts with Brett's face on it. That just says, I'm out. That's his answer to the. It's the quick answer to a lot of stuff. I'm out.
That's true.
And you got to ask yourself if you're Melissa's guy. Why am I trying to get her back?
I think it's pretty easy for whichever kid she likes better.
There's that.
Yeah.
There is, and that is a true thing. If you've got multiple kids, there is one you like better.
She sounds like a type that would go for the kids over the.
Right. Or you be careful. She might marry one of them. She keeps going back and forth with everybody. Melissa, find a guy that you don't have kids with and have kids with him, I think, is the best move. Nothing better than a woman with multiple dads.
The third brood going.
Yeah.
Well, David sums it up here.
David's got something going. Yeah. David is trouble.
Yeah.
We all know that girl that's like, I've got three kids or four kids and three dads. They want to be your best friend, and they're going to move in with another. Like, run
just
away.
Line up the guys. It's unbelievable.
It's a trap.
Yeah, and the dude's actually, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make her. The Captain Sabaho wants to help out. Wow.
Told you, that's a good one.
I've never heard this before.
Me neither.
It says, so this bitch has sucks. And that stands for some other kids. with both of these guys. She's a whore. Right, well, I don't want to call our listeners whores, but clearly Melissa is one.
Well, okay, I guess you can come back home.
Quite simply, this woman, whore, doesn't know what back doors are. Put the D down, stop making babies with everybody, and choose a guy. Just crazy. Yeah. Anyway,
that could have applied to both of them.
Yeah, the back door can apply to all the people who emailed today, except that guy and his stepson. Two of the three. And even still, you're going to have a talk.
Well, maybe that's how you teach them. Quit stealing.
I don't know. Stepson reached into your wallet and basically you in the butt. Anyway, what a life you're all leading. Emailing us asking, what should I be with? My ex-husband or the guy I left him for, who I want to leave for? Hey, you're nuts. Melissa, you're nuts. Can you at least take this advice from a guy who's sitting across from you going, I'm listening to your story right now. I want to be empathetic, but it's impossible. You're crazy. You're everything that gets written about in songs. You're a lunatic. Crazy bitch.
Yeah, Buck Cherry
wrote this.
You know, the first one, I'm changing up my answer. I'm talking to him about it.
The kid
because
who
just
stole?
Looking at it, I figured out $200. He pocketed 100 of it and went to Target and just got this golf bag with a dozen ball deal
included
for another $100.
In fairness, the dad said he liked the bag.
He did say that.
So it was a good bag, least to him. I don't know if these people have good taste in golf bags or not, but
guess as long as he liked the bag,
he did have $200 in his wallet. Didn't seem to miss it, so. Maybe he's okay. You're all a mess. Hey, and is it Biden's fault? Let's get him on the Sibian and find out. I'm going to do it all the time.
Here's another one.
Oh, no. I don't. Your email, is it from David again?
No, no. This is from Mike.
David makes me nervous. This is Mike, his take on what Brady would do. Okay. She's got a feeling she left her husband for a black dude, and now she's blown out and wants to settle back in. Maybe. Maybe he blew her out. Now that you're blown out, once you nuzzle up against that ex-husband of yours, I got stuff to do.
That's a serious blended family.
Look, bitch, I have many, many white women to excavate. You're done here. You go shrink up with Whitey over there, and I'm going to go about my business. Yes, that's it. Blew her out. And then nobody respects that. They email and said that, so there you go. Melissa, you look in the mirror, you say, I'm crazy. I don't need any man right now. I got to sort out myself.
Because I'm blown out.
Because you probably got blown out. And look down there and admit whether or not that looks like a tornado ripped through your thighs.
Evidently not enough for the ex to take her back.
The ex seems fine with it. Well, maybe the ex is the black guy.
Maybe it's Rico.
And then she went and, you know, shrunk up with a white guy.
Up for a couple years.
A couple years. Now, I'll take you back.
We're going to step you up to AAA.
Yeah. And we'd send you back down a little bit there, and you've been taking that little bat.
I want you back, girl.
I want you back. Baby, come back. God, is it ever. And that is what Brady did.
Hey, it's not weird. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fee.
I have heard enough of this.
U-P-D. Holmberg's morning sickness.
You've been deceived by an agent of Satan himself. He's evil.
Sitting right here. Come on.
No, no, he's not evil. He's just a bit rude. 98
K-U-P-D. I got to say, before we get into the rest of the show, finally, we also Friday forgot to mention that I, being the incredibly benevolent and caring philanthropic individual that I am, Brady, and you know this. Brett, you've always known that.
Yes.
Toledo's a slut. Purchased a foursome for the Lerner and Rowe Gives Back Golf Tournament that happened Friday. This was no cheap ticket, I'll tell you. And the only rule we had when we realized that it was on the same day as U-Fest is that you got to give Brady and me the gifts. I don't even care about the golf. I like golf fine. Those things usually last too long, and they're just kind of drink festivals. I can do that anyway. And I had a drink festival to go to with U-Fest. That was a blast. So we gave away the foursome to the great Lerner and Rowe golf thing Friday for charity. Now, the coolest part about that thing, and it is legendary, bless you, Brett, it is legendary amongst people who know, for the swag bag that comes with it. Correct?
Yes.
It is a known thing that people go to this and leave like they were at the Oscars. You've got amazing gifts. Now, we were told last week by the people who put this on that some of the prizes in the swag bag were a VR headset, a full Meta VR headset. What else? $200.
Oakley glasses.
Oakley glasses. They had an Oakley store set up. And you just went over and picked your pair. We gave it away to our kind and loving listener, John Gutiel. What a lovely gentleman he is. Now, he has struck out on some of our biggest prizes over the years. In fact, he was, when we gave away the celebration of our anniversary last October, when we private jetted everybody up to Vegas and had a great time, he lost the contest, I think, three times. He got through. Somehow. We were breaking the phones every day in the entire building. Like, the phones wouldn't work when that contest was going on. John managed to get through three times and lose all three times. That's how we got to know him. So we give the thing away last week. John wins it. As a sore luck loser, he's the next guy online. The people we had for the contest weren't going so great. So I'm like, just give it to the next guy. It was John. With the promise of what, Brady?
Delivering in those bags.
Delivering the bags. So this morning,
we delivered.
John shows up. I get an email. Says, hey, I got your swag bags from the Lerner and Rowe tournament. Ever so grateful for you giving us this gift. What a wonderful day we had golfing and having a good time. Great times had by all.
55 KOY. Anyway, I used to have to say that all the time for KOY. A good time being had by all with your niece on 55 KOY. That's Jerry Healy. Anyway, so he drops the bags off. I send Toledo down. Hey, guys here with our swag bags. And I said all that really mattered was my bag. But if you wanted to care at all, get Brady one too. He loves golf, and this is a good thing. Brett was out automatically. Because you've not golfed. You don't care.
No, I'll take the Oakleys, and that's
right.
About it.
If they don't fit me, I'd give them. Right. And then, so that was it. So the guy brought two bags, and we're like, all right. I rifled through the bag. No VR headset. No Oakley shades.
Extra towels, I think.
A bunch of towels. They stuff the bag full of towels like it's laundry. Like, I think Jack I have to runs. Give that to a bunch of Asians. Yeah. One of them was Dan and Rockin' Minucci's show towel. I don't want Rockin' Minucci's in my bag. Who listens to, what are they on, AM 950? I don't even know what station it is.
I have to go to the towel.
I like Rockin' Minucci. I don't need their towel. What am I going to do with that? I'm throwing that out. Where's the VR? Where's the gift cards? Where's the stuff? So I emailed John back, our listener. And I don't know if I should say how much this thing cost, but it was $7,000.
I wouldn't say.
Okay, I won't.
Yeah, all right. Cha-ching, Chavez.
Well, that ain't cha-ching, Chavez. I didn't even get to use it. I gave it to write-off. I gave it away. I wanted to buy the stuff and then have a golf thing. We gave it away. I emailed him, like, what's with all the motherfucking towels? Winner.
I didn't ask Toledo, did he drop the bags off this morning and run?
Yeah, because he's getting away with a crime. He should have. I think he shook hands with Toledo. How dare he? He should have been like Toledo's dad. The second you saw him, should have dumped everything and run away. So I go through the bag, nothing in it. I email him, and he goes, the guys in the foursome convinced me that the VR headset and the Oakleys weren't technically part of the bag. Which is true, because you had to go pick those up. So they didn't come in the bag that was
provided. They're giving out during the tournament.
Right.
He wasn't one hole on each course.
Exactly.
Wasn't listening also last week when you said what those items were going to be.
I want that VR headset and I want those Oakley glasses. You got a $200 gift card to shop there at the shop they set up. You made out. You can get golf shoes. You can get clothes. You can get golf balls. You can get all sorts of accessories.
And you said that was all yours. I'll let you personal shop for me.
That's right.
You told me the same.
Evidently. He bought Brady and I a bag of towels, like we're running some sort of Chinese laundry, and he drops it off at our door.
And he did give me the quick handshake and run.
Yeah. Did he run away?
He bought a pair of track shoes. That's how fast he was running.
Did it trigger anything to see a man running from you that quickly?
used to it.
About the bastard struggles with it. Anyway, so I emailed him back, and he goes, all right, I talked to the guys in the foursome. I've commandeered some gently used Oakleys and a couple of headsets. Well, these are already jacked headsets. These are pre-jacked headsets. But you don't need that. Brady needs a pristine, unjacked headset.
And didn't he say that the one guy that was being added automatically was out?
He said that
we were throwing in.
We threw in a soldier.
Yeah.
So who was honorable.
He was.
Nathan Peterson is his name. And Nathan was in on this as well. You're all a bunch of crooks, I tell you. And I'm not too pleased with it. Your father bought you a nice. This is why I don't give you nice things.
Sorry, bro. Drank too much.
It was kind of a funny email. We got plastered and we started to debate whether or not they were actually part of the gift bag. I'm like, well, technically, I understand that.
He just emailed in.
What did he say?
Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm grabbing all the rest of the swag immediately.
You got him right.
Put three hearts on it.
All right, Gauthier. You are in trouble with us.
I'm checking OfferUp right now to see if they're...
If they're hamming out our jack. You know, if you're going to keep the VR headset, keep the towels, because you're going to need them to wipe off your tummy puddles. That's what those things are for. You're not a point guard in the NBA. You don't need VR work. You're jerking off with it. Give it to us in a sealed package. I don't want a partly used VR headset. Gross.
Too late.
Ugh. Give me some Clorox wipes. Learning Rose's name on them. Anyway, how about that? We try
trust
to have
in the French. There you go.
Trust in the French. Yeah, but Brett's been trying to tell me that for years. Trust in the French is a mistake every time.
Told you.
What do you get when you have a Frenchman nearby?
It's a trap.
They're going to do something horrible to you.
The shield is down. Come back to town.
So anyway, John, I hope you had a great time at that golf tournament that we clearly had a deal with.
Clearly.
I'll give you the golf tournament.
Audio posted.
You're going to get some good stuff. I didn't want this bag. I wanted the VR headset and the Oakley glasses and the big stuff. I wanted the big ticket items. And the worst part is the winner and Nathan the Soldier could have kept the other two bags.
Yeah.
You screw the two deadbeats that tagged along and you give them. Those guys talk.
What did they get on the shopping spree?
Yeah. I bet you it wasn't a triple X shirt for Brady.
You got some nice golf balls in there, didn't you?
There's a dozen.
TaylorMade's. Good.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Okay.
Extra distance.
Nah.
There are no Oakleys or VR headset, though.
Also, not Pro V1s, which you
not
know.
Not $200.
Yeah. No, certainly isn't. Those things might be like $60 for that, right? Probably 10 a sleeve.
Not those.
For Taylor's? No. TaylorMade's aren't 10 a sleeve.
They make a bunch of different.
They're not good ones.
The
TaylorMade's.
They're okay.
What are you looking at? $6 a sleeve for those?
They're okay means they're crap in Brady's
yeah,
world.
Yeah. That's Brady saying it. 2 out of 5 stars. You don't like the TaylorMade's?
They're okay.
No, the TaylorMade Tour. And,
I'm not asking you. Do you like these TaylorMade's?
Those particular, I'm not familiar with.
Oh, these.
That means that they're sounds like
those get sold at Food City. That's how bad it is.
That's what the code is with Brady.
A place called Food City I won't go in.
They certainly aren't $200 for a dozen.
Well, no. And I'm not saying that there would be 200 for a dozen. It's hard to get 200 a dozen. You buy the Pro V1s, you're at like 35 a sleeve.
50
right?
bucks.
Is it 50 a sleeve?
Yeah, 45, 50 bucks.
And they come four per pack. So, yeah, it's 200 for a thing of Pro V1s. That's insane for golf balls. You're going to lose.
Well, no, you get a dozen for 45 bucks or 50 bucks.
Oh, I thought it used to be per sleeve. Because at the Biltmore, they charge you 15 or 20 bucks a sleeve.
Yeah, those are resort prices.
That was a long time ago. All right. Either way. Should have taken the broad that was on the phone, evidently.
Yeah.
She was honorable, not like those Frenchmen.
Sacre bleu!
Anyway, next time anybody who doesn't pronounce the last R in their name calls up, hang up on them.
It's a trap!
My name is Montpontier. Huh? What's that? How do you spell it? Is that end in I-E-R?
Si.
Ah, he's Spanish, too.
Yeah. Oui, oui.
Can't trust him.
Montpontier. Cannot trust them. What do they call them? Surrender monkeys? I think that's their name. That's what we're calling them from here on out.
Mike Singletary on them. Can't trust them.
Can't trust them. Don't want them. Not going to be on my team. Anyway.
Apparently he said he's trying to defend himself. So they're $55 a box.
Man. Where's the other 145, man? I don't want to be one of those guys, but it's not like I gave you this. Under the hopes that you would do it, that was part of the deal.
You're not being one of those guys when you explicitly stated.
Yeah, completely. I'm losing my voice here for this.
What the?
Yeah, Brady. Go ahead. Say it, Brady.
What the is going on?
Can't trust anybody anymore. This baguette running around with all my VR headset.
You said baguette. Like
that's
bread, right?
Right.
Okay, good.
Baguette. Frenchie baguette. I'm turning into pie and I'm right in front of you. I can't even talk. Baguettes. Anyway, I want my VR headset, baguette. Sacre bleu. All right. I got that off my chest. Brady's just as mad as I am. He just doesn't do it right.
He's seething. All the money he put into it.
It would be different.
Well, look,
it would be like Banya from Seinfeld if I'm like, wait, you owe me a meal. Well, we had an agreement. You went all Frenchified on it. Brett's right. Can't trust those people.
Yep. I mean, on Friday, you were like, yeah, I talked to him. Like, how's the shopping spree work? I told him to shop, and I said, just get golf balls.
That's what I said. I told him, I said, you get the $200.
So you get 4 dozen golf balls, pretty much.
Two of you. Can use your gift cards to shop for Brady and I. And I even said, I trust you. In the email, I trust you. Go nuts with that. No. They had a big meeting in the cards. You know, technically, none of the stuff that's in the bag is part of the bag. So we can keep it. Losers.
Wasn't the certificate, though, in the bag?
No. Oh. Just being part of it. At the end, they give you a couple other things. In a way, there's kind of truth to that. But that's it.
I'm going to send Brett over to the Frenchman's house. We're going to handle this the old-fashioned way.
Little redecorating.
Everybody else is emailing saying, you should have let me go. I was in that caller. says, John, the swag bag guy. Sounds like his nose is bigger than yours. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's not. Now he's a friend. I don't think they have those in France. Anyway. All right, Baggett, you're on the clock. It's 9:42. We got ourselves an entertainment drill now that we've railed our winner. I mean, that was it.
Spoke the truth, actually.
Yeah, we spoke the truth.
No railing.
Like Furious Styles. Spoke the truth. Like a preacher or something. We got an entertainment drill coming up in a little bit. Careful, Baggett. We're watching you. It's 98.
Hey, it's not weird. 98. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fee.
I have heard enough of this.
UPD. Holmberg's morning sickness.
You've been deceived by an agent of Satan himself? He's evil!
Sitting right here. Come on.
No, he's not evil. He's just a bit rude.
98. UPD.
Man, did those guys steal the show Friday night. Motionless and white. And one hell of a show to steal. That wasn't a low bar to just become the best on stage. Those guys were the best on stage in a whole group of people who killed it. Even that awful POD who wants to fight everybody just for, you know, being fragile and hearing the wrong words. And another thing, a Frenchman. What happened to the honorable Nathan Peterman, the guy that we gave it? We credited him for was his honor.
Yep.
Like, you're such an honorable man. And Brady and I know how golf works. We've been they were sitting in their two golf carts at the end going, you know, technically none of this was really in the bag. Like, yeah, those guys, we're keeping the good stuff. And then they laughed at us. And Nathan Peterman, that sumbitch, all we told him was, you're so honorable that you actually, we're going to have this John guy call you and take you with because you served our country. That's what you get. I oughta. This guy Beerus says, you guys are going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And I said, that's not the point, Beerus. He's Latin. Then give me my jerk hat.
Like, you're sitting here going, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh,
Beerus says, yeah, next time, okay. I'm not going to miss bills, but I still wanted that stuff. The whole reason I gave it away. You give Brady and I our jerk hats. Not used either. God damn it.
You're getting all used gear back.
These guys are spilling their seeds all over our jerk hats.
You're probably using a little Pornhub with the VR, too. There you go.
Damn it.
I'm hoping they just climbed Mount Everest or something.
Let me ask you something. Mr. President, have you ever used a jerk hat? Have you ever had a VR?
Oh, yeah. Sure got a lot of time porn.
It's so great to have the president sitting in a room with me, and nobody's acting like it's weird.
I was sitting there with Howard Stern.
We listened to a little bit of the Stern and Biden. It's
an infomercial.
Insanely old men. Bartles and James had more energy.
I was Howard Stern.
You're so spry. I can't get over how incredibly spry you are.
I feel really spry. I feel like the American people.
I don't know what you're saying, but I know it's good. Whatever those words are coming out, it's a change in policy. It's great. If Trump gets in, it's the end of democracy.
That's what I've been saying. That's what he's put me in.
I agree. Whatever the hell that was. Anyway, I got to listen to that later today because it's awkward at best. The reason I'm kind of locked in on it is because people won't stop talking to me about it. Like, I'm going to do anything about it. All I'm going to do is.
That's the last time my uncle got eaten by cannibals, Howard.
No, but I bet it's riveting. You tell that tale here, please.
Best meal they ever had.
What does Biden meat? What does it taste like?
A Frenchie just emailed you.
The Biden man. Never trust a French herb, right?
Well, that's a given.
I believe that to be a fact. What do you think? You're juicy or dry? I mean, tell me why I would. In other words, if I ate Jill, have you been in her enough to like flavor her? It's like a meat rub. John the Frenchman has fired back. The guy who stole all our stuff.
It's in the works. I'll be there tomorrow morning, you Junos bastard.
Now he's insulting you.
Wow.
Look here, Frenchman. Yeah,
how dare you?
This is the kind of stuff that Biden's going to stop. You know, aren't you spry, incredibly talented Joe Biden?
Hey, you got him out of the chair. I need help.
Somebody help him out of the chair.
That's clearer than what I heard.
Oh, it's, well, it's radio. I can't do the real Biden or people just be like, oh, it's a guy dying. I mean, here's a list of your accomplishments. You want to go on like one at a time. The gay marriage.
The gay guys.
That's what I was thinking. That's exactly what I'd have said. Red Robin, you've heard me say that a million times. Sometimes I say blah, blah, blah. And people, it's like a policy now. God, you're so good. It's just weird to me. I gotta sit down and really kind of wrap my head around why that happened. Travis would like to nominate John Gauthier as a recipient of the Nathan Sutherland's Bag of the Year Award. Wow. They walk amongst us.
Wow.
That's a little rough.
He's up there.
Travis says, I think those losers should be runners-up at least for the S-Bags of the Year, pricks. Maybe we name the award after John this year. The John Gauthier Bag of the Year Award. I like John. He's actually really fun. Nice on the
when he's not stealing
when
your
he's
stuff.
Not yeah when he's not busy Frenchifying all my things.
It's a trap.
Let me ask you this, President Biden: would you ever nuke France for me?
I nuked the French the time I got arrested on that porch with black people on it.
No, but I bet it's a great story. Go ahead.
Now the Sibian.
Yeah, let's ride the Sibian while you do that because that's what people want.
All right, fire Sibian.
Uh-oh, it's broken. There it is. All right, tell the story about how you were arrested with blacks.
Oh, God!
Up, there he goes. The third time the president's ejaculated on the show. I could do this all day. I don't know if it's entertaining or I'm having a time of my life picturing Joe Biden on the Sibian and Stern just dealing with it. All right, he wants to ride the Sibian again. We got to get to some policy talk here, Mr. President.
Yeah, one more time, one more round.
I mean, how much is in this guy? Bella Bastard, I mean, how many times? Is he going to break a record? Look it up. Get on Guinness and see if...
He's on it, Howard.
Brettle Juice, get on there with him. Sorry. I digress. It's time now for the entertainment drill. It's brought to you by our friends at ReactDefense.com. The... home of tactical black self-defense training. Almost needed it for a POD this weekend. In fact, I got Josh, who was there with his son. Talk about awesome. Josh Ackerman took his son to his very first concert Friday, was U-Fest, to see Motionless in White. Now, this kid is a prodigy on the piano. Guess his name.
Beethoven.
Braden. Ludwig.
Braden. Elton.
Braden.
Yeah.
That's an easy guess. So anyway, no, this kid knocks it out by ear. He started playing this Motionless and White stuff. Sent him a video. He's like, he's so psyched for this. His first concert, he's backstage. He's hanging with the band. It's got to be the greatest. We've ruined this kid forever. He could never have a concert like that again. And they had a great time. So, but I had to lean on Josh. I'm like, hey, I need your help here. POD wants to fight me. And he's like, we'll be all right. And I'm like, hey. I have the utmost faith that Josh is there to help me de-escalate this and get to the right spot. We laughed about it, but it was also a moment where it's like I knew to get out of situations that I put myself in that night, and that is because I like the guys from React Defense. They've taught me, like, when somebody says, hey, this is going sideways, listen to those people. These guys aren't happy with you. Walk away. And here's the other thing I learned because I've been through their de-escalation program. You're in a room full of people and you don't know them. When one guy's mad at you, and you don't know anyone else in the room, and he does, there's a chance all of them are going to try to kick your ass. So there's no point in bowing up on one dude just to save your pride. I did what I'd been taught. I ran like a Frenchman. But that's...
You listen to sage advice. Hey, yeah. Time for you to go.
You need to go. Like, really? Yeah. And then in my head, it went right back to the training we've had, which is when the room says, you got to go, and you don't know anyone in the room, and one dude wants to fight you, but the other guys are on his side, you don't know what those other guys have. Get out. Run like a Frenchman. And that's what I did. And it, you know what it did? It saved a lot of grief and a lot of trouble. I know it sounds cowardly, but was there a fight with POD? No. It's a great story. That's all. Was there a big dust-up mess? No. Did it cause trouble at work? No. But it could have. And all I had to do was bow up back to the dude from POD. But through years of training, I learned not to fight POD. You don't realize that you use it every day. And that's the amazing part. And it's easier to sign up now than ever. You go.
Can't wait for the new commercials. Were you in a fight with POD?
Were you almost in a fight with the fragile drummer of POD? Sure. Who hasn't been? But yeah, and it's easier to sign up now than it's ever been. ReactDefense.com. We'll get you in the weapons defense seminar coming up in June. Throw in a month worth of training, and it's $199 for all that, which is incredible. Personal training for that price is unheard of. Get over there. ReactDefense.com, the home of Tactical Black. Brady, entertain me because I can't talk.
Jerry Seinfeld says you shouldn't have to worry about being politically correct if you're a comedian. If you're a good enough comic, yeah, you know how to deal with it. He says, you know, pick up the paper, find out what's going on, and just navigate around it.
Turn of a phrase. You have to pride yourself on how you say something, not what you say. That's the big difference. I think he's 100% right.
And he goes, if it's funny, too, that's the key. I mean, funny enough to do it.
Jerry's
and
become
do it out of a
he's less funny and more of like a comedy sage. He's always telling you how comedy works now. But in this particular, I saw that article. In this particular case, it's 100% right. It's like a bad comic will step in it. A good one will have that same exact topic and make you think and laugh and walk away from it. Just it's a turn of a phrase. It's wordsmithing. It's a gift.
Lori Loughlin did an interview with the First for Women magazine. And when asked about her challenges in recent years, she had this to say, you know, about the whole USC
prison and all that.
And doing some time. She goes, for me, it's like the song says, I get knocked down, but I get up again. And people like finish up. So you drink a whiskey drink? Then you drink, a cider drink? Vodka drink?
Lager drink? You drink a cider drink.
Keep moving forward, she says. Which she has. You've watched it. I haven't seen it yet, but the baby reindeer.
Oh, I love it.
The so woman, there's a woman that's stepping out saying that.
She's the one.
Yeah, and yeah. She's going to sue Netflix.
No.
For defamation.
Well, she's the lunatic.
And the guy, exactly.
The guy went out of his way to make it not her.
Yeah.
And never reveal. And now she's coming out going, that's me. I'll sue. We wouldn't have known. It's the Nirvana baby. Mm-hmm. That's me. I never wanted to do that. It's like, well, nobody would have known if you'd have just shut up. It's embarrassing. Now, he had a beef that he never got paid, evidently, but that's
his
parents.
His parents' problem? Yeah.
He's a baby.
A website published the list of the most intense acting performances of all time.
Gary Oldman, top five in all.
Oh, that's overacting.
Oh, okay.
Most intense acting of all time?
I have the top seven. Number seven was Robert De Niro as Travis Bickle, Taxi Driver.
I would also say, what's his name in Gangs of New York doing, but it wasn't Gangs of New York. It was the There Will Be Blood.
Number two,
that
Daniel
Day-Lewis.
That is the
most intense acting I've ever seen in my life.
I never even knew the character's name, Daniel Plainville.
I don't remember it.
Or Plainview, sorry.
The Joker is like the Hangover next to There Will Be Blood. Like, it is the saddest.
Wow.
Have you seen it?
No.
It is so insanely dark.
They gave the nod to the other Joker. They said number one was Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger.
That was the Joker in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Number three was Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance in The Shining. Number four, Bobby De Niro back in as Jake LaMotta, Raging Bull.
Pretty great.
And then number five was Charlize Theron as Eileen Wuornos.
That's right. And number eight was Pauly Shore in Biodome.
Didn't make the cut.
A lot of people forget the depth of acting that. He was amazing at one point. Or yes. Jake, was it Jake Ryan in The Phantom Menace also? Was that his name?
No.
Jake Lloyd, that's right. Jake Ryan
Jake
was
Ryan
the
16 candles.
Candles, that's right. That's right, Jake Lloyd. Anyway, all right, that's it, huh?
Yeah.
There you go. Nobody going anywhere tonight?
No.
All clear. Monday's in the books. We're done. I'm going to take a lozenge. Thank you for tolerating my throat today.
Maybe do that laser therapy that John Bon Jovi did. Stand in front of a laser.
Yeah, is that what he did?
Yeah, I watched that.
All right, well, get me some info. We'll try to fix it. In the meantime, let's get you back on the Sibian. The guy said, I like that your voice is making President Biden sound like Freddie Roach.
They had a big fight this weekend. I don't know how they do that. They're very similar.
And Frenchie wants to know what KUPD is giving away next.
Frenchie's out.
Frenchie, you are out.
It's a trap.
He's going to steal it. Hide your wallet. Frenchie's loose. We're done. You guys have a great day. Be kind to Larry because he gave you a show on Friday through all that hard work and grinding and put a hell of a U-Fest together. That was a lot of fun. So Larry's your guy. He's got tickets for you to something else now. Just call him up and tell him you love him or email him and say the
same. Ladies, take him out.
That's right. Ladies, let's step up to the plate a little bit.
Say thank you, Larry.
Let's roll over for Larry. Ladies of Phoenix, it's about time. All right, we're done. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, it's not weird. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fee.
I have heard enough of this.